We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. But today doesn't feel that way. We are divided in more ways than one, and the media and the powers that be all have their own agenda. The people of this great nation no longer care about the truth, they only care about the side they are on. At Poor 360, I am trying to change that. We're bringing you the facts and history so we can all learn something and make our own decisions. Tune in every Tuesday to be a part of that journey.
The following
is a journey into comics.
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 Network.
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 Production.
Production.
And here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, the podcast dedicated to all things nerd, with your host, the Podfather himself, Nate Phillips.
Showtime, a-holes.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Journey into Comics. I think this is 242.
I lost count.
241?
It literally says the episode title on every episode, and I've lost count.
Sure, fair point. Welcome to LaFiCon Year 5, folks. We are Journey into Comics podcast. I've got an amazing cast of characters joining me today from all over the network. We're going to go right down the list. First and foremost, welcome back to the show from Podcastrophy, Dick Blaine Tyner. How you doing?
I am great. I'm surprised I'm not an emotional wreck, but I'm at an emotional high right now.
Did I say I'm Nate, by the way? Did I do that? I forget.
You did.
I did? Okay, I can't remember. It's my brain. Did brain damage.
If not, yes, the intro took care of it, so you're good.
Okay, good, great. yeah, that's true. That's true. Also, welcome. This is probably the first time you've officially done JIC, Lender.
I think it is.
Welcome to the show from Dungeons with Dudes, Dave Lender. How's it going?
Going great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Hell yeah, you've got some stuff to talk about today because you went to a specific movie that was not Avengers Endgame, so
correct.
We'll be talking about that as well. Also, welcome back to the show, the co-host with the co-most, Tyler McLaughlin. How you doing?
Doing good.
Dude, I'm happy
excited
to have you
be
back.
Here. Excited to have a full weekend full of podcasting and Guac Box.
Yeah, I'm going to be full with Guac Box.
And Street Sharks.
And Street Sharks. You guys are on that Street Shark shit today.
They really are.
Once it opens up, you just can't stop.
And you can't get rid of it. Also joining us, welcome back to the show. We love him from Foodies Watching Movies, Adulting Ain't Easy, and Poor 360. You catch him every Tuesday on the Journey into Comics Network. How's it going, AP?
Doing great. I'm glad to be here. And I have this whole couch to myself. I can just lay down and talk.
You can almost do the Gwenpool, like Dick did the first year.
Was he just sprawled out on the couch?
Yeah. I did that too, I think, at some point.
Or the rose from Titanic, depending on which direction you want to go.
Like
with
one of your French girls?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's one of the Snapchats I sent out.
Do you know this is my first time in Lafayette?
Really? Ever?
Yeah. Like
ever?
I've never been in Lafayette before, I don't think.
Welcome.
This is about it.
So this is Lafayette. All right.
This is what we got. Well, how many of us saw Endgame yesterday? I just want to get this one out of the way.
Yes.
I did.
Right out of the gate.
Thursday, 6 p.m.
So Nate P. saw it Thursday. The three of us saw it yesterday.
I literally saw it the first chance. Like, hey, that's a great picture from... Yeah, hey, you said that. That's crazy.
I literally said, pay
there was
me
a
like 5
p.m. I just couldn't
dad.
Make it. I wanted, but it was sold out. Beyond.
I think that...
That was like a fan special one.
What do you guys think about this... like marathoning all 22 movies. Do you think you could have done that?
I don't know.
Consecutively?
At the theater.
At the theater?
It was like a 3-day essentially event.
I think if you had the ability to take the time off of work or didn't have any commitments.
Right.
That's my biggest problem.
And you just went into it knowing that, okay, periodically I'm going to take a nap and periodically I'm going to get up and use the restroom. And I might leave for a little bit, you know, just to get oxygen out of the movie theater.
Yeah, just to not smell like everybody.
Were there breaks between them, or was it just like one into the next?
I'm pretty sure there was like a 15 intermission every 4 movies or something. So they like broke it up like that. But then like they let people bring in backpacks. You could go in and out of the theater. You could bring chargers, blankets, pillows, like the whole nines.
I feel like I would just be just mentally and emotionally drained by the time Endgame came.
Yeah.
I mean, God, to re-experience all that in a row and then to live to the end of that whole experience was...
It would all be fresh, though, which is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to marathon them all. I got all the way up and until Civil War, which I think I did pretty good.
That's not bad.
But, yeah, that's a good run.
13 movies in 2 days wasn't bad, you know, but I just had it on no matter what I was doing. Working on the podcast, movie was on. Doing something for the band, movie was on. Cleaning the house, There was a movie on, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe I slept through Thor the Dark World. Don't judge me.
I'm pretty sure in Reflection, I've only seen Winter Soldier and Thor Ragnarok maybe twice.
Really?
Yeah.
Ragnarok's one of my favorites.
Not Ragnarok, sorry, Dark World. Dark World.
What was the other one you mentioned?
Winter Soldier?
See, and Winter Soldier's amazing.
It's like one of my favorite movies, really, but I think only like really watched it.
I've only seen it once.
I think every time I started over, it's only been like the first. It's always, I've seen like the beginning ones a bunch, but it's always like, I'm going to start watching them all again, and I'll just get like halfway through and be like, nah, it's...
I mean, so let's go down the list. I need to know. Again, we're not going to spoil anything with Endgame. We're not going to talk about plot. We're not going to talk about who's in the movie, who's not in the movie.
Right.
We will say there's no end credits. That's official. That's confirmed.
Well,
no question.
But I think
there is, but there isn't.
Yes,
definitely stay until the screen goes black.
Correct.
Yes,
I agree.
Lights come on. It's still good to do.
That's of course you giving your 30%. I think I needed the time for the credits to roll to literally process what we had witnessed. Like it was just like I left that theater stunned.
Same.
Yeah.
I will say that score was phenomenal and worth staying. Because I think that score hit all of the emotional beats you needed in that movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's go down the list. I want to know your guys' one-word opinion on the movie. What was the first reaction you came up with? Dick. You can't say it here, can you?
F.
I like your censorship. I appreciate you. Mr. Linder.
Mine just be, whoa.
Whoa. Okay. Tyler.
Mixed.
Mixed. You sent that to me. That was surprising. AP.
I think wow.
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 Yeah, I was pretty shocked. I mean, literally, again, without spoiling anything, the movie hits on all the notes you needed it to as a fan. Mm-hmm. If you're really hardcore into the whole MCU and you know the history, they did not give you everything you wanted. You know, and sure, I mean, there's a couple tiny gripes. Maybe some characters didn't get enough screen time, or
right. There
are some weird unanswered questions after the movie.
Mm-hmm. Some plot holes that could have been filled, but I think it'll get answered later.
Absolutely, and it could take time. I think that the future of the MCU is bright, but also very scary.
Unknown, yeah.
Well said.
I think what we have to kind of accept and realize, though, is we've just got to make it to July, and then as soon as Far From Home comes out, we're going to know what the next phase roadmap is.
Well, question, real quick, to piggyback on that, Tyler. Do you think that the Far From Home end credit, because you got to believe they're going to go back to that. I mean, I understand with Endgame, you put a bow on it. You don't need loose ends,
because
right. You don't want people to feel like they had to see that loose end to continue on, because now is a fresh, Far From Home is a start point. Go from there.
Isn't Far From technically still the end of Phase 3, though?
It is the last movie of Phase 3.
I think it's going to more serve like a prologue than an actual final chapter.
Yeah, or an epilogue.
Epilogue. That's what I meant.
Prologue.
Yeah,
is,
I knew
yeah.
what I meant. I fucked that,
works.
That up.
I'll go with that.
Saved it there, too, didn't
mm-hmm.
I? So we're going to do another one-word game.
Hold on.
Sure.
I want to say I really want to watch both Infinity War and Endgame.
Back to back.
I feel like that would have a different feeling at the end of that movie. Because like I watched Endgame, I think, last week or something. But I feel like if you went straight from the end, like, straight
you
from one to the next.
You watched Infinity War last week?
Yeah.
I gotcha. And then, I saw Infinity War Wednesday night before I went to bed. I put it on just because I was like, this is it. You know, we're here. Tomorrow when I wake up, I have very little time to wait. And I'm going to the theater and it's time, you know. And, I want to use another one-word game for us, so we're going to do a different one that doesn't spoil too much. You cannot spoil this, so be mindful. One-word answer to who was the character MVP, in your opinion, of this movie? AP. Like, what? It doesn't necessarily need to be a hero. It could be a side character. Who did you think lent theirself well?
Captain.
Sure. Which, Marvel or America?
America.
Okay. Tyler.
Scott Lang. Scott Lang.
Okay, well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Did you agree with Scott Lang?
Yeah,
was that
that's
your
what I was
going
to say.
Okay, yeah. And you too as well?
Yeah, Scott Lang.
He really is kind of the MVP because he emotionally keeps it together for the team in certain situations. And I think that his also comedic levity adds to them not being so in how screwed they are, because really they are.
Do you think he plays kind of an audience surrogate through a good chunk of the beginning of the movie?
Like a filling people in who weren't aware of the world that had happened?
Right, like he's he's us because going into the.
So, like, naive viewers who had never seen the MCU, maybe getting drugged to this movie for the first time, letting it be a standalone film that speaks for itself.
It does give some. You're able to fill in some background information to Scott Lang since he's been separate for the most part, since he wasn't in Infinity War.
Okay, so we're going to play another fun one. You guys all answered with Scott Lang, except for you who said Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you couldn't say Banner. I mean, in a lot of ways, Banner had one of the, honestly, the hardest journeys in this movie as far as character development mixed with what he had to go through in his actual mission in the film, keeping it spoiler-free, and then the power that it took to move to the next step of his mission, you know, and mm-hmm. what that took out of him physically, and what we're going to see on the other side of that. So,
Nate.
Yes.
Would you say, I know they talked about this originally, this isn't a spoiler, that since they couldn't give Bruce Banner, Hulk, their own solo movies, that they were able to give him a complete arc through these other movies. Do you think they completed that with Endgame?
Yes, they completed a segment of his arc, but I think there's so much Hulk left to tell. And I think they've proven with the way things shook out, they want to take their characters, dice them effers up, and throw them at the thing and say, who can go where and change this all up? People loved these characters interacting in different mix and match scenarios. So, and we get that at the end again, not spoiling it, but there's a new coming together in the future we'll probably be seeing.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll... Oh, sorry, Tyler.
Go ahead.
I wonder if we'll end up with less solo movies in the future and...
More team-ups?
Team-ups or group movies. I feel like that might be a good trajectory.
Well, and I think that's what I was going to say specifically about Hulk as we're talking about him. Thor Ragnarok was so successful, and the standalone Hulk movies were not successful at all. I mean, as a fan of the character, in good conscience, I can't say that they were successful.
It's the lowest Rotten Tomatoed movie, but it's still certified fresh, if you can believe it.
Right. So I think with where you have Mark Ruffalo at in his place as a part of the cast, I think that he does so well feeding off of other people and sharing the stage that unless you are going to do just... I mean, because I don't think a Hulk trilogy is reasonable. Right now, I don't think it's reasonable.
You know what? Actually, though, if we're talking about the status quo of the MCU now... A Hulk movie that fills in a time gap that I'm not going to mention. A Hulk movie that then after that deals with after Endgame and what he does. And then, let's say, him going back off the rails World War Hulk style at the end would be the only thing I could see as them doing. But you would have to pump it full of cameo appearances from other MCU characters so it stays light enough and attached to everything you're doing.
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk. That would be interesting. Ooh. That would definitely be interesting. Okay, so we're going to ask another question, different question. This one's more fun.
One word?
No.
Okay.
And we're going to start with Mr. Dick here. So what theory that did not come to light in the movie were you most surprised by?
Isn't that spoilers, though?
No, because
it's kind of spoilery.
Is it, do you
because
think?
Because anything I'm going to say is going to be spoilers.
Because you're taking away a theory.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, so maybe we shouldn't ask that question. Maybe we should get down to the game. Do you guys want to get into this?
We can get into the game.
So,
I like games.
Gatorade style.
What we have here is the Marvel Movie Marathon Quiz. To make this fair, because you guys are all going to be raising your hands, and I'm not good like that, we're going to have you each have a buzz-in word. I'm going to let you make up what word you're going to yell. So if it's chicken, if it's duck, if it's mashed potatoes, I don't care. You each have a word you're going to... No, Tyler gets heritage. No, I'm sorry. Like, you can't...
Street shark.
You can't argue with that.
Dave's Presto. Is Street Shark.
Presto?
Mine's
Presto.
Street Shark.
Okay, so you got Presto.
Street Sharks.
Okay, Street Sharks.
Heritage.
Assemble.
Assemble. Oh, woo! I like that. Okay, so if you think you know the answer, you yell out your thing first, and you'll be first at the shot. We're going to have two shots at it. You get a point if one person walks away. Some of these are multiple choice. Some of these have true or false. It's all over the place. We're going to go down this kind of quickly.
Are we just going to be y'all yelling over each other with our words?
Yes.
We're going to see. We're going to see how this shakes out, guys.
A lot of yelling.
All right, first question. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Heritage.
Hands on the imaginary buzzers that are your voice holes.
So, cup the mic.
Ow.
Nick Fury is usually known for showing up dramatically at the last second when he arrives in an old S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier to help with the evacuation of Sokovia. Where did he say that he got the supposedly destroyed aircraft? Because if you'll remember, at the end of Captain America, all the helicarriers that we knew about were destroyed.
Heritage. The junkyard where Deadpool fights Ajax.
Well, that's a great theory, but he actually says a line. I'm going to give you multiple choice. I'm going to still let you have first crack at the answer. Was it out of storage, out of mothballs, out of hiding, or out of the basement?
Basement.
I think the answer is out of storage. He says, I pulled this one out of storage.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Where were you at on that?
Coulson actually had it if you watch the series.
Oh, Coulson holds on to it?
Coulson, yeah, at the end of that,
Street
Coulson
Sharks.
Nice, nice, nice. Okay, next question. Changing your mass in a split second is exhausting. What snack does Scott Lang usually ask for when he's physically drained after time spent as Giant Man? You want me to go ahead and multiple choices? Ooh. Is it Kool-Aid, apple slices, grapes, or orange slices?
Assemble? Orange slices?
It is orange slices for a point. Ooh. Okay,
AP's
so right
on
now,
the board.
You're on the board.
Me too.
Be better.
You just got to try. You got to get in there. There's, you
too
know,
much pressure. I'm nervous.
Here we go. Vision was originally created for evil, but as a hero, he is given life by and is the sole protector of what source of power?
Presto, the Mind Stone.
Correct. Dick is on the board. Uh-oh.
Sup.
Sade.
I just let him have that one.
Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division is a pretty lengthy name, but its original name was much shorter. What was S.H.I.E.L.D. that predated S.H.I.E.L.D.? What was the name of S.H.I.E.L.D. that predated S.H.I.E.L.D.? Was it the Strategic Defense Initiative Reserve, the Strategic Training Reserve, Scientific Training Initiative, or the Strategic Scientific Reserve?
Assemble.
Okay.
C.
Which was?
The Strategic Science Initiative.
Incorrect.
I think that was C.
Incorrect. Anybody else want to take a last crack? We know one's gone.
Forgot all the words already.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yep.
I'll go again.
I'm doing terrible at this.
The Strategic Defense Initiative, the Strategic Training Reserve, the Scientific Training Initiative, and the Strategic Scientific Reserve.
I didn't say one of them. I said a completely wrong one.
I think
what was
did.
C?
C is the Scientific Training Initiative.
And it wasn't that one?
No.
Street okay. Sharks.
Yes.
D, the last one.
It was D, the Scientific Strategic Reserve.
That was my
also
buzzer.
Known, it would probably have been easier if I would have just said SSR. SSR where Peggy Carter and everybody else worked. Mm-hmm. All right, up next. Being frozen in ice for decades means you miss out on a lot, but Steve Rogers still understands some pop culture references. Which of these movie references was Captain America able to understand? Alice in Wonderland, Snow White, Wizard of Oz.
See Wizard of Oz. Assemble.
With the
he
wind.
He didn't.
He
buzz
didn't
first.
Buzz in though, but I'll give it to him because he caught himself. Okay, so you have two. And you have one, and that's it. You guys are still not on the board yet, but we're getting in some different questions. These are no longer multiple choice.
On the board.
You got SSR. My
Thanks,
fault.
I'm
man.
The only one with all, that's not on the board.
Tyler, let's
Do
change
better.
That right now. Remember, remember in every question we want to mention that these are all questions that were written before Endgame. So there are no Endgame spoilers in this quiz whatsoever. Keep that in mind as we go to question number one. Black Widow gave a cure to Tony to keep him from dying of radiation poisoning. True or false?
False. Presto, false.
Okay, you're correct. You are correct. You got to remember your buzzing. Okay.
Yeah.
Up next, only Thor and Vision have been able to wield Thor's hammer, Mjolnir.
Heritage. True.
True. Correct. So, one. Two. Okay, we're getting into it, folks. Secretary Ross was originally known as General Thunderbolt Ross.
Heritage. True.
Future.
Ooh,
I said heritage.
Yeah, you got in two in a row. Okay. Eitri is the name of the giant who is coerced into making the Infinity Gauntlet.
Assemble. True.
It is true. In the lead, AP now with 3 points. Right? Three. The Maximovs both receive their powers from experimentation with the Soul Stone.
Presto.
Heritage.
False.
He got you. Okay. All right, that's the last true or false. Let's fill in the blank. Before being kidnapped, Tony said he was riding in the blank rather than with Rhodes.
What?
Before being kidnapped, Tony said he was writing in the blank rather than writing with Rhodes.
I'm out of this one. I hate that movie.
Assemble?
Okay.
The Cool Kids?
No. Incorrect. Anybody else want a shot?
Heritage. Car.
Incorrect. Since no one got it, the answer was Fun V.
Oh.
I like it.
I'm going to go up here and ride in the Fun V. Yeah.
Just don't post it on MySpace, okay?
Let's see. Aha, I like that. That's great. Black Widow was raised and trained in a place known only as the blank. Black Widow was raised and trained in a place only known as the blank.
Heritage? Ballet?
No, I like your candor. The ballet is not correct.
Just throwing stuff at the wall and see if it sticks.
Sure.
Dave, do it.
Street Sharks.
Sure.
Communism.
Incorrect.
Yeah,
oh my god.
The answer was Street Sharks.
The answer is the Academy. The Academy.
The answer is Hogwarts.
Here's an easier one. Be ready with your mouths because one of you is going to get this. After the Battle of New York, the team all decides to hit up a blank place to relax.
Street Assemble.
You all three simultaneously did that. That was crazy. Okay. Did you get that in too, Preston?
I think Linder had
I it. Heard Assemble Street Start Heritage all at the same time, so.
Assemble Street Start Heritage.
It was like
episode title.
Write that down. Send that to me right now. Oh, that's great. Okay, so. Huh.
Because I think it was Dave,
yeah.
To me, and then AP.
I do agree.
Okay.
I was
if
last.
You guys heard better than I appreciate
I think it was
your
Dave.
Honesty and candor, Dave.
That's probably the loudest because that's me.
Sure. Yep. What's the answer, Dave? Sweet. After the Battle of New York, the team all decides to hit up a blank place to relax.
Shawarma.
Correct, Orlando.
I'm on the board.
You've been on the board, you street shark.
I feel like AP's going to get this up. One because he's watched this movie more than most of us, I'm guessing.
I have.
Blank is the Panther goddess, the deity of the Black Panther.
What is how do you pronounce it?
I've only seen it one time.
Really? You've only seen it one time?
Yep. Not
Same.
Worth it.
I liked it, but it's only seen it once.
Is it Assemble?
Sure.
Is it I can't know if it's pronounced right. It's, I always pronounce it. Is it Bosch?
He's so close, I think I have to give him a point.
Is it it's something like
Bost.
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 With
okay.
a T?
Yeah, B-A-S-T. Four?
Four.
Two?
No, I've got three.
Three? Four, three,
two.
Two.
Three.
Three? Four, three, two, three, as we move into the... okay. So this is going to be a word bank. This is going to be a little bit difficult to pull off on the stage because you technically need to be looking at it, so I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to say one, and you're going to name the character most likely to be associated with this specific thing. Dimensional energy.
Presto, Doctor Strange.
Incorrect. You're on the right path, though.
Heritage. The Grand Supreme Wizard Master.
Assemble. The Ancient One?
It is the Ancient One.
Damn it.
Okay.
It was in my brain until I said...
Scientific experimentation.
Assemble.
Yes.
Captain America.
Presto.
He got it. Captain America.
Oh.
Assemble.
I was going to go with Rocket.
Okay. Oh, another great one.
Did you say Harambe?
Rocket, not Harambe.
Ancient herbal potion.
Heritage. Black Panther.
Bingo with Dingo. We've only got a couple of these left. Powerful energy source.
Presto, Iron Man, Stark.
Heritage. Captain Marvel.
Bingo. Lastly, this one's going to be difficult. Natural ability. It's so vague, I know.
Assemble?
Sure.
Hawkeye.
I was going to say that one.
Presto. Natural ability.
Natural ability.
Presto.
Sure.
Nat Black Widow.
Incorrect.
Oh. You know no one likes you, right?
Street Sharks. Groot.
Wow. Get him on the board. He got it. That's awesome. Yeah, natural ability. That's
you know
great.
No one likes you, right?
I'm well aware.
I love you.
I'm well aware. We are Groot.
Okay, I'm going to name off Groot. 5 different characters, all associated with a superhero from the MCU. I'll name a character. You immediately buzz in. Whoever calls it first gets it. Okay, we're going to go with Ned Leeds.
With who do we have to describe in? The character they're associated with?
They're associated with.
Assemble?
Spider-Man.
Correct. Darcy Lewis.
Assemble?
Okay.
Doctor Strange.
That's my best ant buzz. Anybody? Anybody?
Could use some work.
Better.
Sounded like Joe.
Oh, jeez.
Darcy
okay.
Lewis. Who is Darcy Lewis associated with?
Darcy Lewis would be associated.
Presto. Thor.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Darcy. Yeah.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
The lady that says meow, meow.
Eric Selvey.
These next two are going to be a little bit easier. Janet Van Dyne.
Heritage. Ant-Man.
He got you first.
Yeah, he did.
Thanks, Slightly. Tyler. Ant-Man.
It is Ant-Man.
I didn't hear him because he whispers.
Sam Wilson.
Heritage. Captain America.
Got it. Dr. Christine Palmer. Dr. Christine Palmer.
Assemble?
Sure.
Incredible Hulk.
Heritage.
Sure.
Vision.
Now I know who it is.
Now you know it's too late. You can't buzz back in. These guys are like racking their head skulls. Who is Christine Palmer?
Dave.
No, like, no, don't. No cheating.
It's you, Dave.
Dave's the
5,
answer.
4.
Nate's even doing the 3. Hands.
Presto, Banner. No, wait, you already said
Hulk. Somebody already said Hulk.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
The answer would be Doctor Strange.
Because it was the night nurse, right? was she the other night nurse?
Yeah, the night nurse. Yeah, Rachel McAdams, right?
Okay. Huh? Yeah. Rachel McAdams, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I remember that after the fact. I was thinking it was the doctor.
Okay. So who thinks this one is going to be for the game? So if you buzz in, you get it correct, you stay going. If you get it incorrect, you lose. It's over for you.
So you're asking everyone?
Correct. We're going to see who buzzes in first to start. These are the two final questions.
Okay.
Name the 6 Infinity Stones and their respective housings and guardians.
Oh.
So the stone itself, what it is housed in and who is holding it up and until Infinity War. So this before Infinity War / Endgame.
You have to get all 6.
Housed
all
in?
6. Housing, what's it in?
Oh, got it.
Where they're at what period in time?
Right before Infinity War.
Right before Infinity War.
So where the MCU is before they're all together. Paper.
Heritage.
Heritage, okay.
Okay, so the Power Stone's in Morag.
Okay.
It's in the little...
You are
you're
incorrect. Oh, you're in the UK orb, too?
Yeah,
two.
It's,
sure.
It's in an orb on Morag.
Who's the guardian of the Power Orb, though?
Oh, I'm sorry. Where it's at right before Infinity War. It's on planet Xandar, defended by the Nova Corps.
Okay, next.
The Mind Stone is in Vision's head.
Okay. Pretty set in stone. Where was that initially, though?
Where was the Mind Stone initially?
Correct.
In the Loki Scepter.
Bingo.
The Reality Stone, the Collector has it.
Okay. What was that in?
Nowhere.
No. In. What was the Reality Stone the in? The housing.
Oh, I don't remember that. I mean...
The Aether. From Thor the Dark World. Okay, so... Tyler doesn't get it. Who can pick up from there and keep it going? Remember, there's still one more question. You're not out.
The Space Stone.
Okay.
Is in the Tesseract.
Okay.
Which before Endgame was in Loki's possession.
Correct.
So that's 3. 4?
3. Mind Stone, Reality Stone. You just did Space.
That would be number 4.
So that 4. Was number 4.
Correct.
So
you have 2 left, and I know the 2. Go ahead.
Okay, so the next one would be... I'm trying to think what the other ones are. I'm out.
You're out?
I'm spacing
he gives
out
up.
Now.
Presto.
Sure.
Time Stone.
Sure.
It's with Doctor Strange inside the Eye of Agatosh, something.
Oh, so close.
You're out. You didn't answer it right.
Yeah, you got to get it right.
It's the eye. It's the medallion.
It says it's the eye.
Yeah, I remember the medallion.
Okay. Are you out? Do you have it?
I should have won with the soul stone.
You have it? No? Yes? No? Tyler, do you want to finish this up?
Yeah, I can finish it.
The point?
The time stone's in the Eye of Agamotto.
Bingo.
And then the soul stone's on Vormir, protected by the Red Skull.
Bingo. We'll give you one of the game-winning points. You're up for the final here. The next question is a little bit easier. Name the people that fought in the Civil War movie and their respected sides. So name the teams who was in Civil War.
Heritage.
Oh, he's going for the slit-your-throat win. Go for it.
Yeah. Iron Man on Team Iron Man.
Sure.
Black Panther on that team.
Yes.
I'm just going to do one team before I do
the other one.
That's fine.
Perfectly acceptable.
So Iron Man, Black Panther, Vision, Rhodey, Spider-Man.
How many people are on the team? Or does he get to know that?
I think it's six each, but I might actually be incorrect there. I'm trying to think if there's... You might be right with five.
And then you can count Black Widow because she switches to both teams.
That's true. I'll
so that's
accept
the sixth.
Yep.
And then Team Cap.
Sure.
Captain America.
Yep.
Bucky.
Yep.
Ant-Man.
Yep.
Hawkeye.
Yep.
Wanda.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you said it again. Because
and then Widow switches sides.
So Tyler just...
Hawkeye.
You just swept the board there at the end, and you win the Marvel Movie Marathon Quiz. There was actually one thing we couldn't do on the show because I don't think I can get you guys to do order of events.
No, that's can't do that on this.
It's pretty difficult. It's
but we all win because we're all friends sharing
the
stage.
Yeah.
The power of friendship.
We're in the end game now.
And I crushed it.
Oh, totally. So
Street Sharks.
Street Sharks.
Is that where you guys want to go next? Is Street Sharks?
We can talk about Street Sharks. We're in the Street Sharks now.
We're in the Street Sharks now.
We're in Street Sharks now.
Sure. So I watched this show as a kid. I had all the toys.
I didn't have any of the toys, but I watched the show.
Dr. Piranha was pretty awesome because when you hit his switch on the back, his face would turn from normal to crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the little
I remember that.
Thing, yeah. And then, God, I can't remember all the actual Street Sharks, but I had like the one with the rollerblades.
We looked it up like 30 minutes ago.
You did look it up. You know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Bring them.
Ripper.
Ripster.
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 Shamu.
Slamu.
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 You're messing it up.
You do it then.
Street. One was just like street.
You're messing it up.
I'm messing it up too.
Because there was the one with the blades. Was he blades?
He was the Mako shark that, or the tiger shark that rollerbladed.
Yeah.
Go, go, power
there
street sharks.
There was the one that punched all the time. Crazy punchy guy.
Yep. There was the hammerhead.
I like that.
Just read
that
him,
you're looking
Dave.
It up. Way to be the R&D department.
We have Ripster, Streaks, Jab,
Street Shark
Slamu.
Tacos.
Awesome. I just got tacos delivered to the stage. Oh. Now if I could just get a drink delivered to the stage, my life would be set. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, do that again. Sorry, tacos. It happens.
It's that was one. Not a street shark. Tacos
no.
was not a street shark.
No.
Ripster.
Ripster.
Streaks.
Streaks.
Streets.
Jab.
Jab was
Slamu.
The
punch.
Slamu. Yes.
So Jab.
Slamu.
Which one was Jab?
Was brown, right? He yeah. had. He was the okay. And then
the hammerhead.
Hammerhead was.
Jab was dark blue, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then, what streets? Is that what you said?
Streaks.
He was the blades guy.
Yeah.
With the stripes.
Yeah, he was the tiger shark.
And then, what was the other one you named? Ripster.
Ripster. He was the leader.
That's
he
right.
He was the great white. Or the Mako. Whichever
Will
one
they
you
ever
want to
bring
pick.
That back?
What?
Street Sharks. Great white.
He's a great white.
Thank you, audience.
Thank you, audience.
Where's the live action Street Sharks movie?
Yeah, we need that. Where's that?
Starring Captain America.
No, I'll do this later.
Okay.
Where? My favorite part of that is they hated pizza but loved cheeseburgers. Because they were not the Ninja Turtles.
Okay, so don't bring up
that
word on my... Listen, don't bring up that word on my podcast. Cheeseburgers. I can't ever hear it again.
Why don't you like cheeseburgers?
I can't say.
I got
it. I actually genuinely can't
tell you. Is this covered in your voice of survival?
No. No.
Well, we're going to cover it on podcast.
No, you can't. You can't know about it. Okay,
Nate,
or you do.
It's okay. I love you a certain number.
Yeah, exactly. You got it now. So
now I'm sad again.
Now you get it.
Do you think that the Street Sharks didn't like pizza because it was a clever way to differentiate them from being like the Ninja Turtles?
Straight up.
Because I mean, they're similar. Four brother or four dude team that's like a mutated creature.
Didn't the Gargoyles show come out the same time as that too?
Yes.
Oh man,
were
Gargoyles.
Like, were there just a bunch of anamorphized characters that all existed at the same time? pretty much, on like kids yeah. kids television.
That also makes me think of Small Soldiers for
WB.
Some
reason. WB, yeah, the Gorgonites.
Gorgonites.
Man, I brought up Small Soldiers yesterday at work.
Hey,
it was on. Yeah, I think it's on Amazon Prime. I think I watched it like a couple months back.
Here's why I brought that up, because somehow we got on the subject of porgs from Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
Okay. I watched that this
and
morning.
So we started playing a game where we placed one word in a movie title or a television title with the word porg.
Porg.
Porgs of Anarchy.
Porgs of Anarchy. Return of the Porg.
Small Porgs.
Small Porgs.
Or Porg.
Saving Porgs. Private Porg.
And Porg.
Wow. We are so far off the rails right now.
It's okay.
Street Porgs? Street Porgs.
Street Porgs.
Hey, Dave. Like this guy. Did you see a movie in theaters recently that's comic book related that's not in-game?
Nice segue.
I totally. Have. Well, I did.
What did you see?
I watched Hellboy Wednesday.
So this is the David Harbour reboot, not Ron Perlman.
Correct.
Guillermo del Toro.
Correct.
What did you think?
I really liked it. Like, I know a lot of people didn't because it's not Ron Perlman, but I'm a big Hellboy comic fan. Like, I read quite a bit of them, and it fit the comic very well. I mean, I still had some issues. Like, they did a lot of CGI to it, and the CGI
it
was
got
sloppy.
CGI fested.
Yeah.
So I noticed from the trailers, and give me further insight, no Abe Sapien.
No Abe.
At all. Even in an after credit or something? Is that?
He is... Towards the end.
Okay, okay.
There, like early like, reference. A little like
so Easter maybe they're egg-ish. Setting up for a sequel is more what I'm asking.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
did include Different Lobster actor? Johnson, though.
Yes, yeah, so I bring up Lobster Johnson.
Pretty awesome.
He's amazing.
Yeah, BPRD is awesome, so.
Lobster Johnson is in Hellboy, if you're familiar with Lobster Johnson at all.
Was Hellboy a Vertigo book?
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. Yeah.
Also, I want to shout out the dude that's dressed like one of the Joker's goons from 89 Batman. With the boombox, it's amazing.
It's fantastic.
I know. I don't know if you realize
acknowledging you at all, which
is
hilarious.
Which makes it even better.
It does, totally. Dome, you know.
Did you see someone who was dressed in Endgame attire?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I saw Bucky and I'm guessing Black Widow.
Oh, right there.
There we go.
Right
there. Hey! Right there. Oh, I see with the suits, with the advanced tech suits. Love it.
Can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it. Can't
really want to talk about it, but we can't.
What we're going to do, though, I will say for this episode, people are going to be like, hopefully this isn't a super short JIC. We're going to actually add on to this later where we do spoiler-filled conversations.
The six-hour discussion.
It might be. Hours. It might be the longest conversation ever had in a podcast because there's so much to go over. I mean, just to touch on Endgame again, so much fan service, it was overwhelming. Like, you could not have caught everything.
And not always in a positive way.
True.
One thing we could talk about is what we did to prepare for seeing the movie, if we haven't really touched on it.
What was that again?
What we did in preparation for seeing Endgame.
Okay.
Like if it was reading or watching anything.
You first start.
I actually found a couple YouTube videos where like they did like character breakdowns of where these characters are up to Endgame, which I thought was really helpful. Just refreshing yourself on like scenes from the characters and what they went through, like from Iron Man to Captain Marvel. That was really nice.
Okay. Tyler?
I hyperventilated a lot and tried to maintain my emotional state,
yeah.
However fractured that was.
Sure. Did you do anything else? Did you watch any of the movies MCU-wise? Bleed
I
up?
Did watch Infinity War Wednesday when I got home from class. I didn't really pay attention to it. I just kind of ignored the first half of the movie and then watched them both fight Thanos.
Like I said, I literally put Infinity War on and start doing dishes and just recite the movie without watching it
because
I've seen it so many times. I mean,
I also watched Ant-Man. That's the only other one I watched
OG
in preparation.
OG Ant-Man or Ant the Wasp?
Ant-Man, the original.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Darren Cross is an amazing villain in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yellow Jacket's awesome. The Thomas the Tank Engine thing. We have an announcement we're going to make. Free balloon animals until 2 p.m.
Nate, don't do it right now.
Oh, don't do it right now? Don't do it right now? Did she say? Oh, sure. We could do it now. That's casual. That's fine.
Can I get free balloon animals?
Yeah. No, you don't get free balloon animals, AP.
Can I be a balloon animal?
Can my balloon animal be a street shark?
Yes.
Shame.
Which one?
Oh, man.
Slamu.
Okay. Dave, how did you prepare?
How did I prepare?
Yeah.
I just kind of chilled.
Did you watch anything at all?
I didn't, actually.
You have already probably seen them all, though, so you were like...
There's two of them I've not seen.
Okay.
I've not seen Ant-Man and Wasp.
Well, okay, I can say that story you didn't necessarily need going into Endgame, because it takes place between Civil War and Infinity War, right. So...
I wanted to see it, I just never got a chance to. And then, I've not seen...
Is this still on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Ant-Man and the Wasp is on Netflix.
Yep.
Homecoming's not, but I can get you Homecoming, don't worry. I'll link you up with it.
Oh,
nice. And you can thank the Boombox guys closer now.
Hey, I love now your cosplay. I said it before, but I want to say it again. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Okay, so... Dick, what about you? What did you do to prepare for Endgame?
Well, to start off, I took a brief nap because I was very tired.
Sure, yeah, you had like a very, very little sleep going into
it. Very
little
sleep. And then I ate 4 slices of pizza.
Score.
I drank very minimal fluids.
That was a mistake. Actually, that was probably smart.
Because, I mean, I did get a soda.
At the theater.
At the theater.
A big
soda. You got a soda there as well.
Pop. Which is actually pretty large for at the theater.
What did you fill it with?
Wild cherry Pepsi.
Oh, I love it. Wild cherry Pepsi is life.
I got myself a medium. We did the real movie deal, too.
Okay.
The medium couple special.
The medium couple special.
Okay.
It's bad that I know that.
We did that too much.
I just sipped on
the 2 drinks.
So I'm curious to know, and I want to go back through this. So you're actually telling me what I was going to get to the heart of what your experience at the theater was leading up to. Was there a line there?
No.
You had no line? You just went right in and got your tickets and seats?
We purchased our tickets prior.
Okay.
Reserve seats?
Huh?
Did you have reserve seats in yours?
Yes.
Okay.
The weirdest thing happened, though. We got our aisle was like aisle I, and as we were heading in there, they said, oh, did they tell you about aisle I? And we're like, no. They're like, well, you can't sit there. You got you're in M now, which was literally the very back, which was fine. Our seats were still kind of where they would have been in aisle I.
Okay, but just further back.
Yeah, it's just where
there's like I doesn't exist anymore.
Did somebody take a poo in I or something? Like clean up an aisle.
We don't know because all the seats were filled, aka the seats that we had.
Weird.
Which
were
just a little closer.
Did they pre-book another row for
they
some
probably
reason?
Screwed up. Or you
know, it was the weirdest thing.
Well, like, I also heard, I don't know if you guys know this, but there were movies that were getting like corporate people buying out the entire theater for their, their for parties. And when that happened, some people had already bought certain tickets, so they had to refund and then offer them different times at different shows. So there
that
might have been something
so
like
upset.
That.
Yeah, we were sitting there, and we were like, Miranda, my wife, who just walked in, welcome to LoffyCon. She was like, I am just waiting for somebody to come up here and say we're in their seat.
Oh, that would have been BS.
Didn't happen.
Well, that's
didn't
good.
Happen. Avoided so that conflict.
Your movie going experience seems pretty easy.
Oh yeah.
Did you not have reserved not seating, Nate?
No.
Oh, so you had to
so
wait
we just
to
bought
get
tickets,
seat.
And because it's a AMC 12, it's a smaller one, so they don't have pre-reserved. We got there at 4:15 or 4:30, I think it was, which was an hour and a half to 2 hours before.
Was there
the
people
movie.
Lined up ahead of you?
Oh yeah. There were like 50 people in front
did
of us.
Did you have a good spot, though?
We did end up getting a pretty good spot, and it was really fun. There was a guy that I'm going to call him Captain Crabass, because some older dude came with his son, and they were like trying to find seats. He walks up to the guy behind me, and he just sits down, and the guy's like, hey, man, those guys have coats. My friends are sitting there. He's like, I don't see them. And I was like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, don't be like that at this movie. Just be nice. Like, can we just not have a bad time? This guy threw a fit, and I watched him go to all different seats, and every person he was awful to, and he ended up finding, like, a really crappy spot pushed off towards the bottom of the screen.
That's what he deserves.
Totally.
Sucks to suck. Should have done
it
better.
It does. I just, it was really fun, though, to stand there for a couple hours and to chit-chat with a few people, and the AMC bucket for popcorn, they had, like, a tin bucket. I sent you guys
the picture.
Oh, I saw
that. It was a good deal.
It's embossed. So it's got like it's got like a it comes out, you know. It's
don't
really
you have
cool.
one for other movies too?
Not like that. I have a regular like popcorn box for Guardians 2 or something.
Oh, okay.
But that's about it, you know.
Welcome to the stage, Miranda.
So, welcome to the stage.
When I came in, it was fine. I was able to pre-buy my seat, so it was there waiting for me when I could go in. The only negative I had was after I was sitting comfortable in the. Like the trailers before the movie started to play, the people sitting immediately to my left, a group of them came in, bunch of like high school age kids that just reeked of weed. I was like, oh, this is how it's going to be.
Could be worse things.
But I just had to smell it for the whole movie.
At least it wasn't BO.
Could be worse. True. I'd much rather like smell popcorn, though.
Popcorn's good. You should have just went and got more buttered popcorn.
Oh, I avoided all concessions, so I didn't want to have to get up during the movie.
Did you consider drink breaks, or bathroom breaks, rather?
I avoided all concessions and went to the bathroom right before the movie started. I wasn't getting up.
We had drinks and concessions, and I literally, right before they started rolling previews, went down and peed. And I was like, okay, now I'm set. I'm not going to have to deal
with
it.
Did anyone have to get up during the movie at all?
Not my wife did.
Nope.
One person in our theater did. You didn't realize it was 3 hours?
I didn't realize.
Do you not listen to my podcast?
No, that's what I'm saying. I watched the movie and didn't realize 3 hours had passed.
Oh, it didn't feel like 3 hours.
It was a very well-paced movie.
It was super well-paced.
Except maybe the first hour, but after the first hour, I think it paced a lot better.
And I think that first hour is dedicated to, here's catching up what's happened.
It's story building.
Correct, absolutely.
I bought my tickets ahead of time, walked into the theater.
You sent me a popcorn bucket picture.
No one at the counter, so I printed off my own tickets, reached over the counter, grabbed them. No one took my ticket ever.
Wow. Were people just not there?
No, there was a bunch of people there.
And they just weren't, it was just unruly.
They were doing something else, and I was like, well, I'm not going to stand here and wait.
How was the turnout for your guys' showing? Was it packed? Was it kind
sold
of
out?
Mine was
my
sold,
showing.
Yeah.
Sold out?
Mine wasn't packed. It was weird.
It was like kind of half full? Or
maybe like 70% full.
So you still had the audience experience of people laughing and stuff and the and cheering, all the things that were
still
happening.
Had that, but it was not as packed as I thought it was.
I will say this. Our theater stayed totally silent for the first 2.5 hours, and there's a moment in the third act that exploded the crowd. It was crazy because I didn't know if we were going to all just stay quiet because we were immersed in it, you know? And then when it happened, we all were just like, ah, I like lost it.
I
think all the jokes, landed really well in mine.
Yeah.
I got a lot of laughing in my showings during the moments where you could laugh.
Totally.
No, the last half hour, people just laughing hysterically. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
There was one point in my showing where the entire theater stood up and clapped in unison.
I did get applause. We got
was
applause.
Was it Stan's cameo?
There was no applause.
What?
Was it Stan's cameo? 420 Lord?
Mm-hmm.
He looked like he did in that picture from like the time period. Because he filmed that before he filmed Captain Marvel, because they filmed all of Endgame before Captain Marvel.
Correct.
So he's still in better health then.
Yeah, absolutely. All in all, man, the experience for Endgame, the crowd, I think that makes movies for me now, is like the being with other people who I know are feeling that same kind of thing. Like, just to hear, I don't know if you guys were hearing it, but there were sniffles and people grabbing their eyes. And it was just like,
openly
man, this
weeping
is
someone next to me for the last half hour.
You were telling me like some teenager was just like bawling.
He was just, I could just hear him actively crying. Like it wasn't like the big wheezing, but just the actively just.
It's crazy because here's the thing. There are moments in the movie that aren't even technically
that was actually
that
me, AP.
Sad.
Yeah.
What? Like,
that was actually me.
That was you in my screening.
Like, seriously, there are moments in Endgame that you wouldn't think are necessarily that sad, but if you're invested, there are one-liners in there that just choke you up, and you're just like, oh, my, I can't even take it, you know? But this movie was, you know, they said the movie's going to be unexpected. You're not going to be knowing where it takes you. And right out of the gate, they did that. They said, you thought you knew the status quo of this movie? Nope. Enjoy. Good luck.
So I want to change it up a little bit.
Do it.
Because going into Endgame, you and I had talked a lot on an episode of JIC about how the Russo brothers need to do Secret Wars because that's what they want to do. And then the last 3 days, I have read article after article and seen headlines that...
They're done, right?
That they are not going to do anything else.
Maybe that's them saying that as a way
I mean,
to
is
give
that,
people
you think
some
that's some
breath.
Misdirection?
Yeah, I think they have to give people room to breathe. And also, honestly, you want my opinion? This is the point where the Russos have to step off. Because you had Joss. He was the starting point. Now the Russos have carried you to a point. Who's next? Maybe they'll right their wrong and say, James Gunn, you've already did all these other things right. Do it.
I think they need fresh blood, to be honest.
Oh, maybe they do. Or maybe Taika Waititi is the guy, you know, who's going to just...
I agree.
Who says it can't be Favreau, though?
To come back and to take in a more leadership role that's not just one movie or doing a small trilogy, that'd be great. There's a lot of different people.
What's that with The Mandalorian?
I mean, oh, man, that's a whole...
Well, and Taika Waititi is also directing The Mandalorian.
Just one episode.
Yeah. But he's also a voice in The Mandalorian because he's IG-88. So I can't wait to hear how he voices that.
Just Korg. Just.
What's up, guys? Sorry, killed Mike. Hope, oh, hey, hope he's still alive.
Oh, hey, man.
I accidentally crushed him.
Korg is just great.
Korg's great.
Yeah, so do we have closing thoughts on this episode before we want to get out of here? Is there anything else you guys want to bring up in the last 8 minutes of the podcast before we dive out of here?
I mean, I'll go first.
Sure. I like that.
In usual fashion, I'm going to maintain the crown of unpopular opinion.
Sure.
That Endgame is not the greatest movie of all time. Sorry.
Marvel movie or movie in general?
Movie of all time. It's,
oh,
not.
It's there's no way in hell. It's
it
the,
can't
but
be.
But there's a lot of people that think it is, and it's not.
It's not even the best Marvel movie of all time.
I disagree strongly with that, but I agree that it's not of all time.
I agree.
Because I think you don't have another movie in the MCU that tied everything together like that.
I will.
And did it that successfully.
I will say if you package Infinity War and Endgame as one movie, that is probably the best Marvel movie. But separately, they do not stand.
That's AP said it for me.
So do you think they're going to offer that as an option at some point, watching it like unedited,
essentially? Why wouldn't you?
I would see a screening if they did both of those joined.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yep.
I would want them to do it where they cut the credits, though, and made all the credits roll at the very, very end. So you would like literally go from the snap right into the next phase of it all and what's all happening.
Would it be spoilers to comment on the credits themselves of Endgame?
Are you saying the people in the credits, or are you saying just the
style of the credits?
Oh, no, the style I think was cool, and I don't think that's spoilerific that they really... I'll lead off in saying it like this so you can go from there with your thought, but they did a great way of paying tribute to the original six Avengers that really, without that first Avengers movie in 2012 working as well as it did, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about
this. I just like that instead of getting either just like a black screen with their name, it was very well stylized. It showed the evolution of their character, plus their signature and just their name big and bold, and then held for a few seconds.
Absolutely. It was amazing to witness that.
Well, and, it was unique because, I mean, I'm one of the few people that sits and actually pays attention to the credits while I'm watching it. And
I'm a weirdo and try to find people who are named me in the credits. Like, oh, there's another Nate Phillips. Holy hell, that's crazy.
But you don't normally see that kind of imagery in, you know, credit roll like that.
True. Very true. Very true. And I think that, especially with the signature thing that they did, that was a super nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was them signing off on their to this
involvement
point journey.
Yeah.
To this point journey.
I just wanted
to
Stan Lee one. That would have been nice.
Oh, man. You know, I will say, though, honestly, I thought the Stan Lee cameo would choke me up, and it didn't. I was just like, yeah, like, let's keep going.
And it was so short, too.
Yes,
it
also
was,
true.
My opinion, I would say it's the shortest cameo that he's ever had.
Yeah.
Well, probably Infinity War, about the same level of cameo, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You
both
never heard
driving
of a spaceship before?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so what about you, Dave, in thoughts?
Hellboy's good.
I liked Hellboy.
It's okay. About that.
Lobster Johnson rules. I love you, Lobster Johnson.
You just like saying Lobster Johnson.
I do too. Fear my claw.
Lobster
did that
Johnson
once.
Would be a good character on Street Sharks.
He did the Fear My Claw and had the claw.
That's amazing.
Other than that, I mean, I liked Endgame. I kind of agree with these guys over here.
Wow.
You're leaving him hanging.
I'm sorry.
Left him hanging.
I'm sorry. I suck.
All right.
I almost cried again.
Also, I have one more.
Sure.
Shamu, Slamu is the best street shark.
Okay.
Streets was. But
Lobster
that's okay.
Johnson is the best street shark.
Lobster Johnson is the best street shark. You're right.
Dick,
sorry,
what about you?
Closing thoughts for the D. So, I absolutely love when these two get together because their inner children just busts through and destroys everything.
Combined, we have the age level
like
of a five-year-old.
They've been giggling next to each other for like the last 2 hours.
Because we're secretly
just
in love.
Just giggling. And
they like each other.
The stones are assembled.
Yeah, see, I think we did a pretty stellar job not spoiling the movie. We didn't bring up any plot points.
As much as we want to.
Whatsoever.
There's so many thoughts. Just like,
but
I want to.
If people are wanting to listen to that side of it, there is going to be a second half to this show where we really blow the doors open. Not here live, not during LafayCon, but we are going to be talking about the Endgame very shortly, and you guys will be hearing that right here on JIC. Say thank you guys so much, the crowd that's here listening right now.
Thank
we're
you.
Gonna
we got a very large crowd watching us.
Another show up here very shortly. I'm pretty sure it's Brews with Dudes next. I gotta double check the schedule.
I believe so.
Austin's giving us the thumbs up.
Austin's giving us the thumbs up that that is correct.
I haven't met Austin. I just see a guy
okay.
with a bag. And I
well, then, folks, I think we're going to take a quick short breather. We've got
a
couple announcements here. I want to thank Dick. Dave, Tyler, and AP all for joining me on this week's episode of Journey into Comics.
Thank you.
What do we call it? Heritage Street Shark Assemble?
Assemble Heritage Street Sharks.
Yeah, that's right. All right, guys.
That is the answer.
Thank you so much for checking out Journey into Comics. We've time traveled. It's been 5 years. Things are different. It's not really been 5 years. It's only been like, what, like 12 hours or some shit? I don't know. But
a day.
Linder looks totally terrified. We're still here on Journey into Comics 241. Welcome back, folks. We are not live at LaviCon. We're currently doing a pre-show right now for a spoiler-filled conversation about Endgame. Right now, I'm going to introduce everyone who is assembling for this episode. Welcome back, co-host Tyler. How you doing?
Doing good.
Welcome back, co-host Mr. Dick. How's it going?
Presto. I mean, we're good.
Yeah. I thought you were going to stay.
I was conditioned yesterday.
Presto.
Street Shark. AP, welcome back yet again.
Hello.
Mr. Linder, welcome back.
Hello, hello.
So that's everybody that was on the first part of the show. Let's continue and add some more people that were unsnapped. Welcome back to the fold, Miss Veronica.
Hello.
I get resnapped?
Resnapped,
I'm not sure.
Double snapped.
How's it going?
I'm glad to be back.
I'm glad you're back. Hell yeah. And also, welcome to the show, Alex Buckles. How's it going?
I'm a little upset that I sat here and I can't say on your left now that I know that I'm unsnapped.
Because you're
on your left. You're on your left.
Because you're on your right.
Yes.
I do want to point something out. You said spoiler-filled discussion of Avengers Endgame, and a couple of the people... a couple of the vendors got up and went away from us.
I was going to say, did anybody think to mention that this is what's happening in front of the other people that are here?
Yeah, he's over by the door.
Well, I just assumed that we would not be loud enough to like be really super spoilerific. And really, honestly...
Well, let's keep it to a dull roar then.
Yeah. A dull roar. Yeah, that's
a secret spoilers. Conversation yeah, amongst yeah, friends.
Just, or if you're going to scream spoilers, make sure they're the fakest spoilers. I don't... Where do you want to... Where do you... Guys, where should... Well, go ahead.
Like normal, I would like to kick the door down and be that guy.
Yeah,
no way.
Start at the end.
You know, I kind of prefaced yesterday when I chimed in when we started this that this is not the greatest movie of all time. And there is a good portion of this movie that I legitimately wanted to get up and leave the theater.
Ooh, really?
I thought the first act, the first half of the movie was awful.
Oh.
Awful.
I think it was necessary to...
It was world building?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah.
So let me go into a little bit more.
Sure.
Frat Boy Hulk, awful. Fat Thor, awful.
No, but you got to think... Frat Boy Hulk? Kinda. Yeah, no,
I didn't get
it.
That vibe from his attitude.
I kind of got Celebrity Hulk. Like, he was just feeling the love. Because remember how he was with those kids? He was just like, come here, get a picture. He was
that scene specifically, I almost got up and left.
It didn't feel like...
He personally, though, really loves the Hulk. Like, that's one of his favorite characters of all time. So I can understand why that would be frustrating.
It was awful.
I was not a fan of...
The personality profession. Choice was...
Yeah, it was weird.
It was too over the top. It was too cringy. It could have been done a lot more subtle. And I think it would have...
But think about how much time has passed. They said it was like 5 years. And people change a lot in 5 years.
That is true. And
he's mastered this like duality of his personality to become what he thinks is the best version of himself.
Or what the Hulk thinks he's the best version of himself.
Ooh, that's a great question.
It is not a big fan.
This kind of a younger personality-wise with like the sarcasm and like that scene when they went back in time when he's like two in his... Guys to Rampage a little bit. He's like,
I like that.
It's like, what is happening?
Honestly, yeah. I kind of felt a little cheated in the fact that we didn't see any Hulk smash throughout Infinity War.
Yeah.
And they really did a good job of balancing. If you didn't see it in the first, you saw it in the second, and there was still nothing.
You have to smash Tony Stark in the face a little bit.
A shoulder tackle when you're walking out of the stairs and a bit about stairs.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I get that they needed the professor mentality for... use them to do the snap. I get that they have to have some sort of intelligent Hulk.
They also needed the strength of Hulk.
Did we even see him rage during the final battle?
No,
not really. No,
I never saw him like throw anyone off of him. Or
the only time we saw him in that final battle was when they run down the down the hill.
Maybe they thought they did enough in the previous movies, like. In like Thor Ragnarok, maybe they thought they gave you enough Hulk smash so that way you wouldn't miss it because they had so much more.
I think honestly the reason that we didn't get to see Hulk smash was entirely just because there was too much screen time devoted to other characters, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, right. There was a lot going on.
You have to share the stage, and obviously,
to pack in one movie,
right? And obviously, your big characters, plot wise, have to take up the majority of the screen time. I could not accept that the ego that Professor Hulk had, because if you have the perfect union between Banner's, or between Hulk's rage and Banner's intelligence and tact, it's not going to be egotistical frat boy, right. And it's going to take me a long time to get over it.
I kind of wanted doing a dab was pretty that superfluous.
That was rough.
Yeah,
I agree.
I kind of thought he was doing a point at first, but it was. I kind of
totally missed that it was a dab.
He actually said it.
Yeah, he said it.
I kind of expected. This is really jumping into spoilers, but after he found out that Nat was gone, that something was going to crack in his facade, he was going to get a really rage off. Because all he did was just throw a bench into the water. I kind of expected something, not a snapping, but
a schism.
Well, you got to think,
or even when he got separated on the rooftop, I kind of thought that that the body of Hulk would, because they did that in was it Planet Hulk when he was two separate entities?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Separated from
I kind of expected that. I said Hulk to wake up and just have no Bannerness in him.
I was kind of hoping when they did the astral separation thing that, okay, now we're going to have Banner talking to the Ancient One and you're going to have two Hulks rampaging around. That would have been a perfect chance for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He was asleep.
They put a hat on him. I was like, this is obnoxious. Okay.
Kind of segue. I really like that they had the Ancient One back. I like that segment.
One of many very cleverly and well-designed cameos.
Right.
In this entire thing. And that's like when you talk about the spoilers of Endgame. You can't talk about anything because every person coming back is like, oh, that was awesome. Like, we're going back to 2012 in this movie, and I'm like, will we see Dr. Stephen Strange? He doesn't even have the stone yet. They don't know that. Why aren't they thinking
they
like that?
They did
explain
it away.
And they did a very good job. And then the thing that's really clever is Ancient One
knows.
That's why in Dr. Strange she says, I can't see past my own end, because she literally cannot tell Strange what's actually coming.
Right, otherwise she would have.
Correct.
Because she can only see... Because remember when they had that last moment, like, this is my... I've lived my whole life only seeing past this... Can't see past this moment.
So this must be...
But she knew about Strange. She knew that he was destined to be the best of us. Is what she said.
Yeah, that was really cool. I'm really, really glad that they showed her knowing what's to come.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When I loved in that scene when Banner tells the Ancient One that he gave the stone away, that look of conflict, I mean, the acting that she put forth just in that one fraction of that scene was incredible. Why would he do that? And, you know, I need to, as much as I disliked Professor Hulk in this film, I think we need to give a lot of credit to Mark Ruffalo yet again.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, every time I talk about the MCU, I hype up how well they've been able to cast the right people for the right role. Mm-hmm. And I think Banner, or Ruffalo, is still the most underappreciated person in the franchise. And I hope that maybe not as much... I hope that they don't focus on the Hulk as much and they focus just on Ruffalo in general more going forward in Phase 4.
I would want to say somebody as far as unsung hero in the entire movie, I actually thought Paul Rudd did a hell of a job.
He did.
He goes back to his house and encounters his daughter again.
Well, him at the memorial, the big structure where he's just looking for his name, and then he saws his own. He's like, what?
Spooky.
There's like a 10-second moment where she opens the door and he realizes, you see every range of emotion on his face.
That was so cool.
You're alive. You're
wow.
Yes, so cool. Yesterday on the show, at the end, we all chose our MVP of this film, and three out of five of us chose Ant-Man. Because the Avengers
they would have been stuck in the future with it not for him.
Because
Tony Stark didn't even have that thought in his head, and they wouldn't have approached him, and come up with it.
I think I said Banner was the MVP. Banner? Yeah.
The only other one I would have argued would have been Barton. Just because he was the human aspect of almost the entire thing. I thought he did a hell of a job.
I'm glad you bring up Barton. Let's talk real quick about going back to Infinity War and Vormir before Thanos and Gamora show up.
Because
they're in 2014, they go to Vormir, and you've got Natasha and Clint both have the same mindset. I need to atone for my sins. The battle of who's actually going to do it. And you think, when Natasha makes the initial decision, that's the decision. They're not going to change it. Right. And then Clint does something to, you know, like.
Well, because she electrocutes him.
Uh-huh.
He blows her out of her path out of the way. And then he jumps. She
does a Batman, basically.
She does the Batman move. And then they're both hanging. And then, he does have the family, which she told him.
Well, and Blaine and I had this discussion off air yesterday. You know, when they said they had to go back to Vormir to get the stone, there's only one way to get the stone.
Right.
So I knew what was going to happen. I've said pretty much for years that Scarlett Johansson's got to go. I mean,
you
she's got to go.
I never really thought about it.
She's got to be the one to go.
I feel like I talked about that. I don't know necessarily with you, but I feel like around Civil War, I was like, if you're going to do a major character death in this movie, put it on Scarlett or on Scarlett Johansson's shoulders, you know?
Scarlet Widow.
Scarlet Widow.
It's hard to do.
Scarlet Joe.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know, because whenever they announced the movie, I'm like, oh, they're not going to get rid of her. She's got a movie coming up, because I was still thinking movies are moving forward chronologically, not jumping backwards. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Blaine and I kind of had a discussion about why it was ultimately Black Widow. And I made the point that it can't be Hawkeye. It can't be him. Because he's lost everything that he loves. And Blaine brought up the point, well, the only thing that the two of them have left is each other.
Right.
Damn,
so that's
true.
That's why it made the most sense for those two to be there.
I did have a bit at the moment ruined for me just because I was thinking during that scene that, oh, yeah, aren't they doing a Hawkeye show on Disney Plus?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't formally announced it, but I know it's supposed to focus on him training, I'm guessing, his daughter to be the next Hawkeye, the Kate Bishop version of Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm. He did call her Hawkeye in that hard open.
That was a hard open.
And as soon as it shot of his family.
Could you?
As soon as it opened, I was like, I said to him right now, oh no. They're really hitting us hard right
from
the start.
That scene could have easily been an after credits for a different movie, but that would have been a horrible. Because it would have been equivalent to the Ant-Man one.
No, absolutely. Right.
But so much
that
more
was
heavier
tough.
It was.
Gut punch in itself, yeah.
That was a gut punch that was necessary to set the tone.
One thing I found interesting, I don't know how they decided who was going where. It seemed to me like an odd choice of like Nebula and
War Machine would go to Morag.
Yeah.
You've got Nat and Barton going to Vormir.
Then you have Ant-Man, Tony, and
Cap going to 2012 New York.
Right.
Well,
I think... besides, I guess, the Vormir, the other ones, they all kind of had some... They knew that area.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. It makes the most sense for Tony and Cap to go back to Stark Tower... Avengers Tower, however you want
to
label it.
They
know the layout. They know exactly where their past versions of themselves are at. Nebula's been to Vormir. Right. Or not Vormir.
She's been to
Morag.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and
there's some.
And I guess if anyone else would have gone, sorry to jump in, but anyone else would have gone there, I don't know what anyone else would have sacrificed. Like, if you sent, War Machine and Nebula to Vormir,
they're not going to sacrifice each other because there's no care. And
War Machine
would sacrifice his legs.
Yeah, because it seems
going to chop his legs off and throw him down the thing.
Throw his harness.
Oh, that could be.
The one thing I found kind of interesting, which it seemed like in Infinity War, you have to sacrifice what you love most. But I don't think we didn't. But it was just. But in Endgame, it was just a life for a life or a soul for a soul.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
he does say lose that with you love. And Tyler brings up a good point. Nat has no one. You know, her relationship with Banner fractured. The only person she really cared about is Barton. That's why she seeks him out in Tokyo.
Although she would just left him to his own...
Correct.
Because War Machine told him, do you even want to find him after what he's done?
What is he going to be when you find him, you know? And then Barton, on the other hand, like Tyler said again, his whole family's gone. They were snapped out. So he is... If he goes, the only possibility for his family to return and be able to live is his death. They're both on the same trajectory. They have nothing left but each other.
That is true.
But he has the most to gain by it. She
had nothing to lose.
She didn't have a family that got snapped out, and he did, so that's why she had to go.
She did do a good job leading the team at the beginning in the in-between five-year period.
Yeah,
she looked frazzled as hell the entire time.
And I did really like the amount of foreshadowing that they did with her character when Cap shows up with the whole peanut butter sandwich scene, which I really, really dug. You know, she talks about how she's never had a family before, and once she got it, and now she doesn't want to lose it. So when she made the sacrifice,
she was.
It's not
up,
that she didn't have a family; she gained it, and she wants to. She wants that family
protected.
Back,
right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
she said it. She owes it to everyone who's not here to try.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we leave the scene with Hawkeye, and we jumped immediately into paper football on the Benatar.
Silver,
that was hilarious.
Silver paper football on the Benatar.
She was so upset.
But man,
she won.
Those,
she's so pleased.
Yeah, she won.
Those two working together in that short little scene, though, is really
perfect.
It was. They obviously have some things in common. Tony built a suit of armor. She essentially is a suit of armor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and they're adrift in space
right.
and trapped.
I liked seeing them kind of working together to fix the ship using stuff that like you would know, like using those batteries that they got from Guardians 2.
Amulary batteries.
Yeah.
Harbulary batteries.
And the fact that Tony doesn't need any context of space technology is like, yeah, it's all the same. I got this.
I would have kind of liked to see them actually combining their efforts and fixing it and getting home that way rather than just Deus Exing Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true.
Well, they had to get her back.
Also,
somehow.
One of the few scenes that Captain Marvel was a part of, despite how much she was shown in the promotional materials.
Well, I think that's the perfect segue because I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm extremely joyed that she was barely in the film.
Yeah,
not because I hate the character, but because narratively.
You just bring her in to be overpowered.
If you have a nuke,
right. Yeah.
I mean, it's just nuclear deterrent. Like, look what I've got.
They
you know?
They used her very well in the end scene, too. Although, I will say,
the pulling of the Power Stone, I think, was probably a good part. He's like, she has this glove. He's like, no, I'm just going to take this. And just
yeah. I did think the scene between her and Peter Parker was a little creepy. Not going to lie.
What was the I missed.
When they're kind of like footballing the gauntlet all the way across the battlefield, and you get Peter gets the gauntlet. He's kind of laying, like cradling it, laying on the ground. He's obviously exhausted, and she just shows up. He says, "Hi, I'm Peter Parker." She goes, "Hi, Peter Parker. What have you got for me?"
Yeah, that was a little weird.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
that was a little.
Well, she's also.
I feel like I've seen this before.
You kind of expect Peter to go, "Hi, I'm."
I love speaking of Parker real quick. In his return, activate instant kill mode. Call
that
back to Homecoming.
There were so many callbacks.
We could totally get in that.
Can we? Touch on one thing first about Tony's personality right when he came back. How everything that he basically had when he was mentally, emotionally, physically
exhausted,
and that the blood boiling from Civil War with Cap was still very much there
and boiled over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I think you have to factor in too that. Though Nebula wasn't, he was legitimately dying on the Benatar.
Right.
I mean, that's part of the reason why he looks so disheveled. He dying.
He definitely, they showed him how thin and gaunt he looked.
Mm-hmm. They actually had him on an IV while he was standing there talking.
Mm-hmm. Right, and he fell and collapsed, and they had to put him.
I really hated that he was yelling at Cap. Not hate, like, I hate how they did it, but it made me mad that he was, but I understand why. But at the same time, he was like, you weren't there.
But
Cap was there.
They
on a different planet fighting the same fight.
They had no context of each other.
No, they didn't.
Right.
But he was just like, you weren't there.
Isn't there a moment in Infinity War where there's an option to call, like, Iron Man's going to call Cap and then doesn't? Like,
and Banner
not
does.
To?
Yeah, it's the very beginning, yeah.
Broke up hard. Broke up, Tony. What, like the Beatles?
Yeah.
I did like that when they introduced his daughter, I thought they were going to go the route of he doesn't want to go back in time because he doesn't want to sacrifice the daughter. But I thought they did the time travel, like,
well, he was
not giving up thing fairly well by bringing everybody back to that point in time.
He was very.
He did it smart.
He was like, that's the only way I'm doing this because I am not going to lose what I gained.
Right.
Because he had a pretty happy life. Yeah. In a nice
post
place.
Post 5 years.
Yeah, he had his
I mean, everyone
wife,
else might
kid.
Have been suffering, but he didn't want to lose what he gained
right,
to
absolutely.
Save everyone else, which I understand. That's his heart there.
Well, it's not. I think you got to focus not just on Morgan, his daughter. You got to focus on Pepper, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because pretty much every time he's gone into space, he's had to tell Pepper goodbye.
Right.
And now that he's back. He's not going again. He's
actually,
not doing
he's
it again.
Had
well,
that
and
time
she,
with her.
And she mm-hmm. told him to go. Like he was like, I can
she
just
actually,
shelve this, put it in the closet.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're not gonna let. He's like, just basically told him, like, you're not gonna let this go. This is.
I'm not gonna be able to rest.
Right.
Yep.
And then that calls back to the future,
mm-hmm.
which, no, we're not talking about that right now. Let's not. It's
honestly
go
there. The that whole scene with him and Pepper and the daughter. I don't think the funeral at the end would be nearly as impactful without that.
Oh,
Even with 10
totally
years
agree.
Worth of build-up, the funeral would not have been as impactful if they hadn't given you that 5 minutes at the beginning of the movie.
In their little ranch.
Right. Especially, I mean, I got to talk about it when Favreau is asking her, you know, when her and Favreau have that scene.
Why you break my heart, man?
For real.
We all like
I mean,
two times in that movie, I actually teared up. That was one of
them. I legitimately cried.
The hamburger, the
couple times.
Line.
Yeah, when the scene with Barton at the beginning of the film.
Yep.
Done.
Oh, when
the scene with Paul Rudd. Yep.
The don't with, give me hope thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was.
You know, I mean, just all of that. And then the I Love You 3000 and you know, Favreau doesn't get enough credit. You know, I'll get you all the cheeseburgers you want, kid. Like, it just hits
you so hard. I really thought we were getting narration at the end. I did not realize it was just he had a pre-recorded message that basically before the time trial, like, if I don't make it out of this, I need this
for
my family.
He did the Benatar trick, but right before the time travel thing. And I want to know, we've kind of been talking about different moments in the movie, but I think it would be pertinent if we all quickly said, like, our absolute favorite. What moment made this movie for you? I don't know who
comedic
wants to...
Comedic or emotional moment, or both,
across the board, what was the sell that this movie was... Like, okay, because I feel like when we went into this movie, I don't know how your guys' experience was, at least for me, 10 years of buildup, I've seen all these movies multiple times, I know the storylines and everything, and I'm like, look... There's a possibility they let us down and screw this up hard.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the movie, you don't feel that.
Right.
And there are certain little moments. Okay, like example here. It's even in the small things. You guys are talking about how Captain Marvel goes and saves Tony and Nebula. Mm-hmm. Why did she do that? Because first she went to Avengers
that was
facility.
The Captain Marvel after credits scene.
Exactly. And it, of course, you don't see it. Disposition, you have to fill in the blanks. Rocket's probably talking about the Benatar has tracking on it. Tony has obviously got tracking in his suits,
mm-hmm.
and Captain Marvel's a badass, so they sent her off. And it's just in subtle little things like that. I was like, see, they thought about that. They put it out there, and they're like, callbacks to Age of Ultron, callbacks to Winter Soldier several times. I mean,
all the little, they did so well with all the little things. Like, things you wouldn't think about, like, directly after Battle of New York, you have S.H.I.E.L.D., a.k.a. Hydra.
Jean-Pierre show up.
Yeah. You see them show up, and you're like,
the Sitwell, Agent Sitwell. Grillo did the whole
the elevator scene.
I thought we were gonna get the same elevator scene again.
Yeah, same.
I was like, is he gonna just really just throw down in this elevator? And he's like, oh no, Hail he's Hydra. Gonna.
So smart. He was
pulling
so
the,
smart.
Pulling the Hail Hydra bit is such a comic reference that it's
from a relatively recent saying. Run.
Well, and one part of that I really enjoyed was watching past tense Cap kick the fuck out of future Cap because future Cap is tired. He's broken. He's at the end of his rope.
Like, yeah. The shields bouncing off each other.
Yeah.
Just so funny.
I can do this all day. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
B was just saying that. Yeah.
That is America's ass.
I was going to say that. Damn it.
That was hysterical too.
the whole New York bit was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, getting the context of like, oh, that's why Loki has the thing over his mouth. I was like, it seemed a little Hannibal Lecter when you saw the original Avengers. Now it's like, oh, he just wanted to shut him up.
Let's also get by the fact that they got past the no resurrections this time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're not bringing him back. They just had younger Loki snag the space stone and take off.
Right. The weird thing was,
gets retconned almost immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they have like the Tesseract in a like a weird thing in Avengers though? They didn't really.
It was in a suitcase.
No, it wasn't. It was in like a glass.
Oh, at the end.
Because that's how they went. That's how they left in the end of Avengers. But that's they just had it in a suitcase in this one.
They were in like the Central Park when they had it.
True. Maybe it transitioned because maybe Thor said, "I'm taking this back to."
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Quick question.
Sure.
Why didn't you like Lebowski Thor?
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, this.
So you
the
are the
come on.
Most powerful Asgardian. You are the living legacy of Odin, one of the most powerful beings in all of creation and all of time. And you have the two most powerful weapons ever in Stormbreaker and Mjolnir. And you're telling me that 5 years of just relaxing?
I don't think it was relaxing. I think it was a shame spiral of depression and guilt of not having anything
guilt.
And
so
just letting
the depression
go.
And the guilt, that's the only things that changed.
Nothing.
Because you, Thor, consumed more booze and snacks than that.
Don't even. I feel like his metabolism wouldn't let him put on that kind of weight.
No, especially.
If he was staying active.
No.
You know what I'm saying? If you're just sitting around in New Asgard hiding out for five years and
his
drinking.
Body's made of
I mean, you saw
fancy fight.
It was like, it was like 40 kegs worth of alcohol that they were showing that he had consumed in one setting, and that's a
maybe
lot.
Just maybe not just him though, because Korg also and Meek, true. Too.
Can we talk about the fact that Korg is dressed like Taika Waititi in that
yes.
movie?
Yes.
I was just like,
so there's a couple different tracks because
get you, noob master.
you have Thor and Thanos being the stars of Infinity War. Mm-hmm. You have all of the character buildup. You have basically five movies worth of character development for Thor. And yep. then you just throw it all away.
I don't. I would argue that there's a moment at the very beginning of Endgame where they reference Thor, and it rings really well with him. It's, he thinks he failed, and this yeah, there's a lot of that going around. Well, he's the one that had the shot and missed.
Okay.
Like every death, but he does,
and every
he is
scene you've seen him,
in,
but he's does stress get his eating.
Shot.
So
it's not as impactful.
So he, other than Captain Marvel, is the only one that can truly challenge gauntleted Thanos. Okay. With Stormbreaker. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to the final battle. You have non-gauntleted Thanos versus right. Stormbreaker and Mjolnir and Captain America and Iron Man, and I cannot let that go.
That is true. They did
without the
depower him, or what did they, nerf him?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me say something about the nerf. I'm glad you guys brought that up, because there's a thing that kind of undoes that. I want you to put yourself in a different headspace. The Thanos we're dealing with is from 2014. He is so fresh off of losing the Tesseract to the Avengers. It is eating and boiling at his blood, so he has a different mission, and now he knows for a fact, all I got to do is go to this facility and take what's mine. They did all the work for me. So he is on... Again, notice how he took out like Hulk in the first movie, just with dirty boxing. He didn't have any stones.
Yes, he did.
He didn't use the Power Stone, though. Watch.
But you and I talked about
that. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It juiced him up. He was juiced.
He got juiced.
That is, so I feel like, yeah, you feel like it should have been a no contest.
Well, it should have at least been a challenge.
Right.
It was no contest.
Because, I mean, even,
all four. Because
even Cap could hold off Thanos with the gauntlet.
Full gauntlet.
Right.
For a fraction of a second. But
that's true.
But I feel like Thor, even heavyweight Thor, Viking Thor, with both weapons couldn't...
He couldn't do anything. Thanos almost killed him.
Yeah, that is... That was...
So,
like, if he had none of them...
So Thor, electrified Thor, as I'm going to label him, took down one of the most powerful beings in the MCU with Hela. If Hela was in this universe still, Thanos would be a different... It would be a different animal.
Totally. I agree with you.
I mean, it'd be a totally different animal. But you took down top-tier villain,
mm-hmm.
and now you can't do anything
right.
against Spinny Sword?
But again, I think we're gonna need to call back to one thing. This group of Avengers that's left now, they've spent 5 years with nothing, dealing with that, and they're beaten and broken, and they've also now... done this time travel thing. You've had Thor get even a more emotionally broken
right, with his mother.
Frigga alive, and maybe she still is now with
well,
this
not just her too.
Change.
Jane,
Jane. Yes, too. Also, which that was a cool. I kind of knew that was coming though because she showed up at the premiere. I was like, well, if Natalie Portman's at the premiere, she's got to be in the movie. Well,
but then wasn't Paul Bettany at the premiere despite the fact that he wasn't in Endgame in the slightest?
True.
That's a question that I think we're going to get answered in Black Panther 2.
Or WandaVision.
Well,
depends on what comes first.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that we're going to get the doors blown open, like you said yesterday, when Far From Home drops. As soon as it's out, they're going to say, okay, here's the next 2 years of our,
well,
or
I think
5 years.
When does
yeah.
D23 happen? Is it already
July.
Happened?
It's in July.
That's
July.
Probably going to be when they announce the next
well, that's the same
phase four.
Time frame as Far From Home.
Yeah,
Far From yeah. Home, Kevin Feige a couple days ago said that he will not. The roadmap for Phase 4 will not come out until after Far From Home has
okay. So
hit
I'm guessing
the box
whatever
office.
We get, whatever they explain us in the context of the film and whatever the after credit scene will probably lay out Phase
right.
4.
Mm-hmm. So there, as much negative as I have with Lebowski Thor, there are some positives. It did highlight Captain America's, you know, we got the final character development that we needed for,
mm-hmm.
you know, up until the MCU was created, one of the most bland characters right. in all of Marvel Comics. Let's just
be real.
Agree.
The Big Blue Boy Scout.
Yeah, I mean, Big Blue Boy Scout. Thank you. It highlighted Tony was fighting for it all.
Mm-hmm.
So when you had all three of them trying to take down Thanos, Thor was doing what he could, which, in my opinion, is a lot less than he should have been able to, but I'll let that go. Cap was doing everything he could.
And then some.
And then some. And then Tony was just broken, but he would not stay down. So it set up the scene of Cap taking Mjolnir, and that did it for
that
me.
That may have been my favorite point in the movie. When I had to restrain myself from actually jumping out of the seat.
There was a lot of us that did in my
people
theater.
People lost it in our theater.
I got a lot of... This is kind of going to a different movie, but I got a lot of reminiscence of the end of Force Awakens when Luke's lightsaber swung past. I mean, if it went to Luke, it would have been a different story, but I got that same kind of feeling.
Yeah.
It's a very similar feeling, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did love the Thor screaming, "I knew it," was just so perfect.
Well, do you like the when they both had...
Stormbreaker, Cap has Stormbreaker, give me that
You
one.
Get the little one.
You get the little one, yeah.
Even though I feel like, I don't know, personal preference.
Well, they set that scene up, you know, at the beginning of Age of Ultron.
Yep.
So,
the table
scene.
Yeah. I did like that.
There was another reference to Age of Ultron that was really fleeting in that scene where... Iron Man freaks out.
Yes. I tried to put a suit of armor around this world, and you guys said no, and it wasn't going to be possible.
You
said privacy.
It didn't work.
Yeah, there.
I really wanted Cap, when he had the shield broke in half, I wanted him to try to stab with it. I just wanted to see one shot of that. But.
I wish he had his gauntlets from Infinity War. With the spiked gauntlets with the shield would have been a nice touch. I don't know why he got rid of those. Well, he went to a different suit.
Yeah. Which I loved.
Yes.
I love that we saw Winter Soldier suit. That's probably my favorite, just because it's the all blue with the white. I'm a fan of that one.
How did you guys feel about the Infinity Gauntlet? Okay. How did you guys feel about Stark making an Infinity Gauntlet and not a mystical being of creation that makes Infinity Gauntlets? I was okay with it.
Nanotech.
Yeah, I was okay with it.
It
was okay
interesting
with it.
That it was also able to expand and adjust for the hand that was going to wear it.
I'm okay with it just because you're not, at this point, you're not just talking Stark. You're talking Stark with Nebula,
Banner. Yeah,
with
and Banner. Banner yeah,
with
yep.
everybody at this point.
The combined
Rockets
brain
there.
Power.
Like, there's a lot of minds going on.
But I really, really dug the Infinity Gauntlet football scene.
Yeah.
There's one moment specifically in that scene that it is my it did it for me moment. Mjolnir goes flying. I think Cap throws it. He says, what did he say? Look alive, Brooklyn, or look ahead, Queens, or something like that. And he throws the Mjolnir, and Spidey whips onto it and goes up. It was just
that was really cool.
And then who cuts it down? Someone blasts the snaps the beam. That's why
it may have been the spinny sword.
Oh, it could have been either that or one sword. Of the Black
Order, which Corvus Glaive gets taken out brutally by, I think, Okoya, right? Mm-hmm. She stabs him through his fucking chest.
Because they all came back because it was all 2014 versions of those people.
I'm blanking on the name of the big dude.
Oh, Call Obsidian.
Yeah. Yes.
Obsidian gets owned by a giant man. Just flat out stomped.
Oh, stomped.
Crunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought,
get to the van.
I thought when Black Panther took it, he was going to put it on.
Same. I thought
that there was. I was surprised that some people did not, or Captain Marvel. She when she had it, she did she try putting it
no,
on?
She no, she didn't, and I'm surprised she didn't attempt it. She did though, right? She got it from Peter Parker.
Right, because she was the one who had it. Because Thanos took it from her.
Yeah.
When he took her out with the Power Stone.
Yeah.
Did that final battle? Did anybody else get some Flash Gordon vibes from seeing Valkyrie on the Pegasus in the middle of the giant?
Wasn't Peter on the back of the Pegasus at one point?
Yeah, that was awesome.
I think the moment that was probably my favorite, which I think is probably the pinnacle moment of that, is when Tony takes all the stones out and has them form into the glove on his hand when he forms the nanotech band, and then cause he goes when he does the snap and it's like I am Iron
Perfect,
Man, and just
done.
Also,
last words,
you,
his last words, right. I am.
Did he? Because he didn't say anything when he was on the ground, right? He was just all. Just
it
nodding
fried.
And
he was not
right.
there. I mean, like, and that was hard too. The "you can rest now" line broke.
That, well, the fact
me.
That
ugh,
Peter was so there. Perfect. We did it, Mr. Stark.
Mm-hmm.
We won.
That was hard.
I was talking to Tyler
Pepper
about
putting
this
the hand on him, and you get the "you can fix it." Oh, you can fix it. You fix everything. Killer.
Well, I was surprised that Rhodey was the first one, but I know it's his oldest friendship,
right?
Man, there. You know,
no
interesting
Terrence
to note.
Though.
Here, I was just thinking that.
Here's one thing that we didn't get in the movie that I'm shocked by. There was nothing at all with Skrull, which leads me to believe that is their game plan for Phase 4.
I think the same reason they didn't really touch on What was the other thing I was going to bring up? Either way, go on.
I do like the fact they did a very good job explaining why Captain Marvel wasn't there throughout the rest of the MCUs. Like, there's lots of other planets, and they don't have you. So,
did you touch on your left hand versus right hand gauntlet?
Not yet.
Did you figure out? Did you flesh out
there's,
anymore?
There's not really. Okay, the only thing I can surmise is that Thanos is left-handed, like you said, because right. The gauntlet that Thanos has is left-handed. But when Tony and Hulk both use the gauntlet, it's a right-handed gauntlet.
What the fake gauntlet in Thor, was it left-handed or right-handed? Do you remember?
I think it's right-handed, actually.
You know what? It is. It goes this way, and the thumb is this way. When it's on Eitri's little station there. So it is, or maybe that was why he had to make a second one, because he had to make it left-handed instead.
Possibly.
Hey.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any left-handed store.
Double gauntlets. Could you have two gauntlets with like a couple on each?
I don't think so. Maybe.
This is power. This is space. Let's go. Boxing glove style.
What I would like to know is if they still have a giant MacGuffin to go back and redo a lot of. Oh, we can bring that back. We can bring anybody back. We still have the Time Stone.
I feel like the Soul Stone though is Hulk said he tried when he had the stone.
That's true.
And you can't. I feel like magic can't defeat magic. Even though the fact that Thanos was able to break all the stones with all the stones, which seemed like something I feel like was impossible to do.
They never really paid off the baby Gamora thing.
No.
Where is the little Gamora?
Well, there was never any internal Soul Stone stuff. Like, thought there was going to be.
They never really paid that off.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be some Soul Stone stuff.
Well,
and there really
wasn't.
Didn't
bring back any of the. You thought they might bring back dead villains from the.
Oh, yeah. Like,
we never saw Guardians villain.
Ronan.
They never brought back Ronan, Ultron.
They brought back everybody who died in the snap specifically.
That's true. Well, I mean, he never summoned, like, using the Reality Stone.
Right.
It would have been really cool if he would have had the ability to just, like, call back Ultron and send an aura fleet of Ultrons at them in that moment. It would have been overwhelming, you know, along with the Chitauri and everything else.
Were the villains that were attacking them inside the Stark facility, or the Avengers facility, were those the same beast from
Infinity War?
The Outriders.
I couldn't really tell because it was very, when they had the dark tunneling
system.
What a
great scene that was, too.
That was crazy, because you're like, oh, we did it. Everything's cool.
Oh, and I really thought Ant-Man was done. I was are they just going to kill off Ant-Man?
I thought they killed everybody.
The most human person there, completely on his own, with the gauntlet, put him in the worst possible spot. They don't even know he's alive.
Right,
he's just running.
I do see Hulk's redemptive point was holding, keeping Rocket and War Machine.
Yeah,
just you guys need to get out of here. And then that's when the Giant Man
shows up.
And here's Hulk.
Did you just mean was Giant Man bigger than any other incarnation too?
Oh, he got big.
He looked like he was a couple.
Where's Lawrence Fishburne?
He beefed up. He was a big boy.
He's getting juicy.
20 feet.
25. 60.
Yeah, it was like something like.
It's a big joke.
It was definitely a dick measuring contest they were having in that movie.
So, while we're talking about Banner in that instance, do you guys think Banner's going to heal from the snap?
Yes, inevitably.
Do you think if he ever goes back to Banner, if Banner's arm will be just like worse messed up or better?
Tony spraying some shit all over him, you know, he'll be fine.
They do have a little bit of an out in saying that he says most of the radiation that comes off the stones, most of what's doing the damage is gamma radiation anyway. So there's no one more likely to heal from it.
And he said he was made for that.
Unless the stone's magic is permanent.
But still, they just showed us it's almost like Hulk has just a sleeve tattoo now. It's just
it goes
damage.
All the way up onto his
like
face.
A lightning strike.
We need to go back a little bit in this, because you know one thing we didn't talk about that was a huge like what the F moment was the garden.
The what?
Yeah. The garden.
Yeah.
When the Avengers go to the garden to rectify the snap and to get the stones. And
here's Thor straight up murdering someone.
He cut off his hand, and then it was like, no stones. And it's like, what'd you do? I went for the head. And then...
Well, he got what, and it's funny because everybody was like, "Why didn't Thor just go for the head in the first movie?" And it's like, you're in a moment of panic and fear. You're not thinking like
you
that.
You just want to do the most damage, and you think a chest shot with that.
Well, it's a hell of a shot to make too. That's a lot of aim.
Yeah,
maybe that's why he said he went for the head because he didn't last time.
He threw it ahead of time. He just whipped it down.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not like he was just going to strike him just between the eyes.
It was just cool to see the payoff. Like, Thor learned his lesson, but then it didn't really help.
Right.
I do like the the middle of character building where they go back to Dark World, and he's, after he talks to his mom, calls the hammer back, and he does.
Like, it just takes him a minute.
Well, no, he goes, "I'm still worthy."
Yeah.
That was the bet. One of my favorites.
That was my
I did
thought.
Not think of that. Wow. Yeah.
I was kind of thinking of.
He actually said
he was
going to
just all of a sudden get cut and, like, just lose all that weight. And because, like, remember in at the end of Thor 1 when he finally gets the hammer back? All like it's all mm-hmm. it's the full suit up. And
that's
everything.
Part of the reason I have this, such have a big problem with Lebowski Thor. It's the moment that hammer went into his hand. Because
when he had the suit on, he still had the gut. He had the gut over with the big suit with the discs.
All that changed was his beard got braided.
And his hair get braided too?
No, just his beard.
Yeah,
he had the leg crisscross.
I did kind of laugh at the fact that he looked like Volstagg.
He did kind of look like Volstagg, didn't he?
Nice callback. Yeah,
that's one thing I wanted to point out was how many. Just great, minute callbacks were in there.
Dude, Jarvis from Agent Carter was in it.
Dude, I didn't recognize Harley from Iron Man 3.
At the end scene, yeah.
Yeah, I had to ask him.
I was like, "Who is that? Why is that kid there?" And so one of my other friends pointed out to me. I was like, "I think that's good." I looked up like what that kid was like now. I'm like, "That was the kid."
Yeah, that was still like, that was, what, 6 years ago, 7 years ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's 209 Easter egg or callbacks in Endgame.
Is it really?
209.
Did you guys look at the screen time breakdown for all the characters?
Yes, I did.
It was kind of surprising how, well, they had a ton, but how little screen time certain characters had and how like much some other ones did.
I feel
did.
Like it bounced a lot across both movies. Though.
Right. I feel like Hawkeye got a lot more screen than these had in previous.
No, he wasn't in Infinity War at all.
It was in Infinity War, but like even like in Ultron and like the first Avengers,
I feel like he got a lot more in Ultron.
He had that big scene with Scarlet Witch.
He has the big scene with Scarlet Witch. He's got all the major scenes with Quicksilver.
Oh, that's
true. They go back to his house. Like, that movie does a lot to build his character up.
To really help make this movie pay off. Because if we didn't go to the farm, then it wouldn't have mattered.
I love Scarlet
Witch's appearance. She's like, "I don't even know you."
Oh, that was awesome. Thanos, she's like, "You took everything from me. I don't even know you." Like, what?
Bitch, you gonna.
Yeah.
Gonna learn today.
I thought she was also another person that maybe was gonna take the gauntlet.
Well, because you said that you said that was gonna.
But also with Cap,
there are stormtroopers here.
Yeah, people have finally come in. This is cool. The start of the con. We still have an hour before the first podcast even starts, so we can keep this going a little bit longer for sure. If you guys have more things to say,
I think there's so many things that we haven't touched on, but there's just so much you could spend 5 hours unpacking this 3-hour film.
I kind of wanted to go back to Barton as to what the motivation for Ronan was. Was he just killing out of anger?
I think he saw, why should these bad guys exist when my family who did nothing wrong is also gone? I think it was just
I'm going to go and set it right, you know?
Anybody also notice the fact the Yakuza guy that he killed was the Silver Samurai in the second Wolverine flick?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not notice that.
Was he not that guy, but he was just
he was the one that ended up as the giant robot samurai.
Was he the character, the name? No, the actor?
No, same guy.
Okay.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, and as much as you expected, there was no Fox related anything, like I said.
I knew it
was too set in stone. They were not. If they would have opened a door for any of that, I do, like you said, like maybe they'll do an after credits. But I think the after credits they used was what they had to do.
I'm gonna get these guys in on this real quick. What were your guys' favorite moments? I feel like you guys have been kind of just chilling on the couch. What were some of your favorite moments in the movie?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have too much to. I'd have to see it again. I liked the movie. I thought it was a great movie. There was a lot of things I didn't like. A lot of things I did like, but. I liked that they put more. They try to balance it more with some comedy, which I appreciated. Because honestly, I feel like I'm dead inside when I see movies anymore. And I was like emotionally prepared for when we went to see this, so I didn't feel like I was gonna choke up or anything. Right. And I didn't because I knew what I was getting into. Except the one time where I felt like a little sting in my throat was when Paul Rudd. Saw his daughter again, and I was like, "God damn it!"
Veronica, do you want an A-Force movie?
Yeah,
I thought that was
an A-Force movie.
They gave us that poster.
That scene was awesome. Just having them all coalesce
together
on the battlefield.
Do you think we'll see more of Rescue?
Do you think
Gwyneth Paltrow is done now that Tony's done?
Yeah.
We'll never see anything of that family.
Contractually, she is done. Well, she said she will not sign another contract.
Wasn't she done before? Even before Endgame, like she just made a. Well, they gave her a nice meaty role in this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
The only change I would make to A-Force is throw in some She-Hulk, and I'm sold.
Word. Totally.
That's all you need.
That would be a good She-Hulk. Way. Like, word. If you had Banner, Hulk as he is now, plus She-Hulk would be a nice movie.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Dave? What was some of your favorite scenes?
Well, I generally like the whole movie.
As a whole.
Yeah. But,
I just love that Life is a Highway.
Life is a Highway. That's what I want to know.
I think it's the droid boombox.
It's the
thing.
Droid speaker.
Dang.
I told you people were
no
coming.
No respect. No podcast really, respect.
The scene I kind of liked is like a smaller scene, but it was with Tony and his dad.
Yeah.
Back in the future, that was a really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I as like, a son, that was cool.
What did he say? Name the kid?
Oh, that
it was like I don't.
And it was like Antonio or something.
It wasn't.
It was some weird name.
Like, I don't think you're on the right track, but like,
You've still got time. You got time to work.
I thought that was a really cool scene, like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That line,
scene.
No amount of money has ever bought a second in time.
Yeah,
that
made that entire scene for me. I was like, ooh.
Do you The one thing that surprised me though was that the Tesseract didn't melt through the briefcase.
The regular briefcase.
Yeah. Even though, like, because they showed it, like, when it fell in... Maybe it's because it wasn't technically activated. Because, like, in Captain America, the first one...
Oh, it falls through
the ship. It falls through the ship because it's hot and it melts through, and it feel like it would have... Because I know Tony picked it up with the gauntlet originally. Because the one he cut through it, he grabbed it with that and then put it in the briefcase and then took that off.
Fury pick it up barehanded in the first Avengers?
Maybe that is true. I don't know. It doesn't have a strict... Rules of existence.
They also would have had it for 50 years at that point, so, or it was in the 70s, I think. So they had a little bit of time to, I don't know.
Right, because he caught it in the end of, in like the late, early 40s.
Yeah, I one thing I want to say about what Dave was saying with that scene with Tony and his dad. That moment set up for certain Tony's decision at the end of the movie, because he says. This kid isn't even in the world yet. Like Howard says, my kid's not even in the world yet, and I'm ready to do anything to protect it. And it's Tony going, oh, my kid is in the world, and I have to do anything to protect it.
Right.
Like, this is not a decision that I have to think about. It's done.
Yeah, because do you remember in the scene when Cap asked Doctor Strange, is this the situation? And he does, I can't tell you.
He
but
then
he does the
you.
One, and I was like, oh.
Across the battlefield, he's just like this. And I was like,
yeah, that was really cool.
And then, real quick, let's also brief on the portals bringing everybody back and such.
Yeah.
All of the
epic fashion.
All of the magic.
On your left.
On your left.
On your left. And you're just like, well, Sam's back.
Well, when I heard it, I thought I was thinking of, you're thinking of talking about communicating from the soul, and I was like, are they still in the? You know, he was just there in New York.
You know what never gets paid out, never gets flushed out? Why you hear Captain Marvel say, "I have telepathy"?
Yeah,
before
you're,
I didn't
it's
hear it
there.
In the theaters, though.
Oh, it's 100% there.
I didn't hear it in the trailer. I listened for it.
Either.
I knew it was coming.
I heard
up,
it
and
in the
I heard,
trailer. I did not hear it in theaters.
That was my thing.
Definitely in the theaters. I heard it loud and clear. I was like, "What? Like, how are they not talking?"
I'm
about
guessing
it?
Captain Marvel 2 will
maybe touch on that.
Or maybe they'll just never talk about it again.
Do you think that Phase 4 is going to be primarily focused in the 5-year gap?
No. I think we're not going to see that. I think we're going to be moving.
So
not
then
gonna,
the
not
MCU
gonna...
is just now in the 2024?
Yeah.
There's been years missed?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, in that 5-year gap, what are you going to talk about?
There are certain characters that have been doing stuff. Like, what's Rhodey doing in Mexico? Obviously looking for Barton, but there's stuff you could cover with him
right.
that could be interesting.
But I feel like you're not going to bring... They're not going to get these characters
That's
back.
It's like
True.
Beating a dead horse.
True.
I think so you'll see more flashbacks.
Okay.
I think you'll see, like... last time I was on JIC after...
Fun for Funds, yeah.
We talked about X-Men. We talked about Fantastic Four. You could have a setup for those starting in that 5-year period.
That is true. Then you
I
could have established in the current continuity.
You've also got... At this point, they've integrated alien technology for everything at this point. So now the cat's out of the bag on everything.
True. It could be anything.
Actually, since we talked about like the post-credit scene, anybody else feel like there was still a theater full of people left that didn't
at
get
the
an
end
credit scene?
Yeah, but there was something in the end credits
the
who
sound,
caught it.
Yes.
Yeah,
clang,
yep. Just a beautiful like bow.
Yeah, that's
wrapped
takes
up.
Takes you right back to Iron Man 1.
And again, I think I said this yesterday, that you don't want to leave cliffhangers or give people anything
right.
else because you need to put it as an end. It was the end game.
One well, question, did the final snap, it didn't do anything to the devastation of the Avengers facility. That thing's still a hole in the
That's
ground, right? With the crash,
yeah.
with Thanos' ship it's crashed done. Into it.
That is a crater of bombardment, though, with a ship crashed into
Captain
it.
Captain Marvel taking out
over.
That ship, though, was pretty awesome. Yes. Just when she just pierced it like a bullet. And it
that's
just,
her. That's her number one superpower. That's what Blaine and I decided yeah, yesterday. Really, all she's good for is
I really
blowing
enjoyed
holes in
the
ships.
Fact that she wasn't a major player in this right. movie. She was just there when they needed her, and really, also her main superpower is taking out giant ass ships.
Well, I think especially too, maybe sure. her involvement could have been some more if we hadn't just seen Captain Marvel.
True. That's like
yeah. Well, especially because the reason she wasn't in that movie more was because she was filming Captain Marvel during the bulk of that movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They brought her in for the. Because she hadn't filmed any of
Captain
Marvel.
She filmed her Endgame and Infinity War scenes before Captain Marvel even started shooting.
Yeah. Right?
So she had no idea who the character
well,
even
was. They wouldn't
was.
Even tell her. I listened to one of her interviews. Like, the end cap for Captain Marvel, she filmed during Endgame, but was in a room with no other people. She had green screen and dots to look at people. She gotcha. Did not know who was in that room because they wouldn't tell her.
I do like the action. They did cut her hair. I thought that was kind of a nice
interesting,
nice touch,
yeah.
Gave her the mm-hmm. current.
The modern look, yeah. Mm-hmm.
With the sash,
did they ever,
too.
Did they ever have her in the helmet with the mohawk? Because I know they showed it in a trailer, but I don't think I actually ever saw it in the screen.
It never sees the movie.
Do you think there's deleted scenes from Endgame that fill any gaps? Or do you think... Or then they're just ancillary, extra...
I think they shot them intentionally to throw us off. That's right. Like the scene where they're all in the
they did
circle.
They did do that, though.
They didn't put their fists
yeah,
in, did they?
Yeah, yeah. Before they all left at the same time.
That's right. Yeah, that's pool. Right.
The one thing that's kind of interesting, though, is that... You could all enter the quantum at the same time and then go different places. You feel like you'd all be channeling the same path.
I'm pretty sure I think Marvel once you start talking about trailer. Time machines and time tunneling everything, I'm just accepting whatever you're going to tell me.
Right. Just sit back and enjoy the movie.
I love when they were testing time travel. It's like, I don't know if that was old me or baby
someone
me or
me
me.
Someone beat my pants.
Actually, when we're talking about the time travel thing, the one thing we haven't brought up yet was the very end, the Captain America.
Old Cap. That was a decision that I didn't say. I said
you
more
said, you said
that
he's
he
sacrifice
get,
himself.
He would get left in the past was more my thing.
Well, when there's only one jump left, I thought that was going to be Cap. Was going to make the get it and then.
See, and I thought when the guy showed up on the bench that it was Tony, and I was like, oh my god, Cap took the stones back to the fight and did it himself. And then you see the reveal, and I was like, he did it. Like, so now we also got old man Cap in this movie, which is another whole character.
100-year-old
director Cap.
About
yes.
The idea is that he went back, and correct me if I'm wrong here, he went back to the 40s and just lived his whole life.
Uh-huh.
So... What happens to all the experiences of like New York?
Well, they explained it that what you do in the past doesn't affect your future; it just affects an alternate timeline.
That's
and you don't, and you
sure
enter
of, yeah.
back into the main timeline when that timeline
change. When you
ends.
Left
it, like you've just been a loop back in.
I knew the moment that he saw Peggy through the glass that he wasn't coming back.
They called back the Captain America First Avenger by
one
the
last
way.
Dance
the
or
music.
Age of Ultron.
Yeah, well, and yeah. also. Technically speaking, they called back Infinity War too because that's the same music that is playing when
right.
Tony is talking to Pepper.
I was very surprised
in the Q-ship.
What I kind of expected was not that he was going to be at the end. I thought I was expecting the shield would have been left behind, and that Bucky. I was expecting more of a battle for the cowl type situation with who's going to pick up the shield. I was
that
surprised
was
they chose to go straight to.
That was interesting that I was kind of waiting to see with both of them being right there at the end to see who was going
right.
to get it.
But you said it that they probably that Bucky knew ahead of time, like he told because that he knew that he wasn't coming back.
Yep,
and that I want Falcon.
He didn't really seem surprised by it at all. No,
and
he even was like,
"Also,
it's yours."
Old
take
Captain
it.
America looks like Joe Biden.
Yes,
put it out there.
Yeah, a little bit. He's like a Joe Biden Clint Eastwood mashup.
Yeah,
yes.
But I think in Blaine and I talked about it yesterday. I think as much as I would have rather seen Bucky with the shield, it makes total sense because Sam can't do what Cap does.
That
correct.
Is true.
Right.
Sam will never be able to do what Cap does.
Right.
Right.
So Sam now needs Bucky to help him do what Cap did.
And we are getting...
And
I was going to say they're doing a Falcon and Winter Soldier show.
And
too.
I think going forward with the Avengers, I think legitimately Sam's going to be the leader of your team.
Not Thor and Captain Marvel.
You said I
would like it to be Thor and Captain Marvel,
well,
but with as much involvement as she has had now, I don't want it to be any more than that because it's unnecessary. She only needs to be there when necessary.
Or when to take out ships.
That.
She's the big ass ship.
And I think Thor is definitely, yeah. I feel like he's off on his own little personal
He is now on a spiritual journey to find out who he is.
But we can't, well, we'll see a Valkyrie-led Asgardian.
Which I'm a fan of.
Can I just say that the Asgardians of the Galaxy possibility, if they go that route for that movie, like, with how funny James would Gunn. It be if they have a Bowflex on the Benatar that both Thor and Quill use to get back in shape together, mm-hmm. like, to push each other?
That's so funny. And then, I'm pretty sure I was talking to you about it yesterday. Like, it.
There was no.
We finally get Guardians 3, and it's we get the opening with the villain opening where you see a villain doing something, and that sets up the scene for the rest of the movie. Then it cuts to the Benatar, and there's fucking Thor just working out, you know, getting back into shape, and like, or we see all the other Guardians, and then it goes to Thor. But either way,
why did I feel like that scene is with "I Need a Hero" music playing in the background?
Yeah. Or "Eye of the Tiger."
Well, Top Gun stuff. Better.
Yeah. Because I think I told Dave, it's like I actually never got a thing that's like, "Who's fat now?" Because it's like the whole thing. It's like, yeah. you're a burger away from being fat, and he's like, "I'm in better shape than you. Look at."
I'd kind of like to see them go to kind of the hero scene of them cutting back to the Guardians. Thor's, you know, pumping on the Bowflex, and then there's Quill asleep on the bench.
I want a Thor Quill Bowflex montage.
It'd yes. be great. Yeah. It would be hilarious.
Shirtless racquetball scene. Just,
oh. I do. I do like the idea. They have another little setup and lead in for Guardians 3 now, where they've already teased Adam Warlock, and yep. supposedly yes. I would assume that's where they're going.
Right.
But they've also got
2014
there's no
Gamora.
Quill and Gamora anymore. There's still 20. And they showed him still looking for her.
Yeah, because he's like present.
2018 like Gamora doesn't yeah. exist. So now they got to woo 2014 yeah. Gamora to Guardians. The team.
There Plus, needs to be more instance of pelvic sorcery. Yeah,
you can almost get a movie of 2014 Gamora and 2019 Nebula as like a
sisters off
a,
on
like kind of like almost like a buddy travel comedy, but just the two of them.
Right,
I can see it.
Sisterhood, like of a, the like traveling a, robotic arm,
almost like a. Romy and Michelle's.
I was hoping. I wasn't sure if they did. If they were going to until the very end, they gave Drax like one line.
Yeah. He did to attack Thanos, didn't he?
No, he jumps on Cole Obsidian's back and he's just like, oh, stabbing yeah. him. Yeah. But no, he gets the line at the end. It's like you should fight to the death for.
Oh, you should
fight to the death.
For so, oh, we know who's in charge. Yeah, it's me. Okay.
Why did you swipe the map? I swiped the map.
Oh.
Let's real quick. This is the last thing I want to touch on. Were you guys happy or sad that there was no end credit? Ultimately, I need to know.
I was happy. I wanted it to be happy. The end.
Okay.
Mixed. Because I always want the end credit because that gives me something to like hype for. But at the same time, I get it.
Okay. I'm kind of the same way. Disappointing because I want to see a lead into. I want to know what's next.
But I think it does close yeah. this Infinity Saga as they've called right. it.
Exactly.
But that's I would have loved it to have like. When the Marvel Studios logo faded out, to just be like, you know that picture they took at the 10-year, that big cast photo?
Yes.
Just to do like a close-up on like Stan Lee and then like a pan out to yeah. everyone else that made this what it was.
Anybody else seem a little odd with Stan's cameo? The guy who had a soapbox in every, or Stan's soapbox in every issue of the comics against drugs is the hippie.
The 420 Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I had a little problem with that.
That is true, but it also looked so much like young Stan Lee. Like, I wanted him to look younger in Captain Marvel just because he looked like he does now and it was not like he does in Mallrats. Right. But I still think they did a good job with it.
That may actually be my favorite of his cameos, the Mallrats one, but
oh, that for was sure. my
simply
favorite.
Because I'm a huge Mallrats fan. So.
Me too.
V, how did you feel about no end credit?
I was fine with it.
Yeah, you were mad that we sat through it.
Yeah, because I had to pee really bad.
You could have left.
I think the end of a 3-hour movie, the end credits.
Well, I told
little,
you could leave.
Little additional.
You messaged me, like, is there an end credits? I'm like, it's. Well, I mean, there's is and there isn't. You can.
Yeah, it is and isn't is ambiguous, though. I didn't realize.
Oh,
it
so
was
it's
just
your fault I had to sit there for nothing.
Well, I told him.
Gee,
there's not a. Did
Fight
I tell
to
you
the
it's
death
a sound,
with knives.
But it's not a.
We were talking about the end of the movie at the same time because we got out at the same time.
So we both went and saw it at 6.
Correct. So I think we were just talking about that there was no end credit. But there was the Iron Man sound. But anyways, we need to continue on this discussion.
Should we rate it?
Another time. Let's go ahead and, yeah, man, gangster. He's so gangster. That's pro. Buckles, out of 5.
Out of 5? I'll be cheesy and say 5 because I had the same feeling after every Avengers movie. That shouldn't have worked. There's no way tying 20 years of movies, 10 years of movies, 22 movies together. This should be a mess. It's a massive success. 5 out of 5.
Sure. V?
I'm going to say 4.8 out of 5.
Dope. I love it.
I'm just going to say 4 out of 5.
Okay.
5 out of 5.
Okay.
5 out of 7.
5 out of 7.
A perfect 5 out of 7?
Perfect. 5 out of 7.
3.9 out of 5.
Wow, just under 4. And I'm giving it the 5 easy. Yeah. I mean, it hit all the notes for me. And having just rewatched a lot of the MCU going into that, it was just perfect. It was everything I wanted that movie to
also,
be.
Also, not to jump at the very end here, but I looked online today, and its global box office set to pass its budget of $1.1 billion today.
Yep. Let's real quick, before we get out of here, bring up the numbers, because... Actually,
the numbers are insane.
I got a
question
real quick while you're looking that up.
Sure.
So I got into a conversation with a buddy of mine. What do you think still stands out of all the MCU movies that's come out so far, now that we've got to an end point?
Mm-hmm.
Best movie in the MCU so far.
So far?
Yeah.
I know mine. It's real easy. It's either Guardians of the Galaxy or Winter Soldier. Easy. It's one of those two.
Damn, and they came out really close together.
I also want to point out, this is, for all you people that gave it 5 out of 5, it is still ranked lower behind Black Panther on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's fine.
No,
nope.
That's not fine.
That's not fine.
Let's talk about these two. I'm going to bring this in because I've got the numbers in.
Sure.
First of all, Endgame annihilates the worldwide box office with $1.2 billion opening. It also brought in domestically $350 million. It's opening.
It brought
weekend.
In $60 million preview night.
Yep.
Where's it stand against Avatar is what I want to know.
Oh, well, Avatar only has like $2.1 billion total, so
right.
in its opening weekend, it's halfway there.
It's cash positive as of now. So it means anything it makes on this is pure profit, which means Robert Downey Jr. is like 3% off the back end. It's just stacking up.
Richest. He literally has become real-life Tony Stark with how much money he has.
He also lives in a freaking windmill.
Really?
Yeah, he did like a cribs type thing, and he lives in a windmill that his brother built.
Hell yeah!
Wow.
I was like, all right, do you?
So I think ultimately, like in a mid fours, is probably where this rates for this group as a whole.
Yeah. I never answered Alex's question about our favorite.
Oh yeah, keep it going. Sorry.
I'd still say Winter Soldier. It's the best single movie.
Okay, Dick, what about you? Favorite MCU?
I don't want to be cliche and. Like, this is what I do because I'm just still hyping off this movie, but I want to say this movie. But if I can't say this movie, I want to say Guardians of the Galaxy still.
Okay.
Like I said, this isn't favorite. I want to see best.
Oh, best.
Oh, best? Yes. Our personal best or our favorite?
Yeah, I would say
so it's
best.
Not our. Oh, because my favorite is Captain America First Avenger.
My favorite.
But the best.
Avenger, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Personal favorite.
I will say best Endgame. This
Endgame
is the
still.
Move.
That's
this
fair.
Movie.
I'd probably.
I'm gonna be honest.
I felt like I was in a comic book the
I
whole time.
I think that Infinity War is the best.
Yeah, I was
Infinity War. That was mine.
It really made the stakes what this movie That's became. True. If without it, we would not be as hyped on it. But
still, say double feature best MCU film.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch those back to back at home and just like really get into
you
it.
Best.
I said Infinity War.
I was gonna say best would probably be Infinity War, but it's not my favorite.
I'm with you. I would say either Guardians 1 or Winter Soldier, and I'd have to go Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier works because it's not really a superhero movie. It's so espionage, you know,
it's just
political thriller.
The best structured movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hell yeah! Absolutely.
Before we get out of here, favorite cameo of Endgame.
Oh, that's hard. I'm gonna go. Honestly, the one that like shocked me genuinely was Robert Redford.
Yeah.
I was not expecting to see him in
scenes.
This movie.
He even showed young Robert Redford in the in the 70s.
Yep.
As the senator.
Yes, they did.
Mine was Frigg.
Yeah, Frigg.
Yeah.
Which one?
That was Frigg. A powerful one.
Thor's mom.
I'm stuck between that and I was just thinking of it. I want to say, I mean, as dumb, this is going to sound weird because it's a cameo and he's not a cameo because he's in the movie too. Star-Lord in the Morag scene.
Yes, singing poorly to himself.
We asked that question. If it's, we both said it was probably he re-recorded that.
I would have laughed so hard if that was just straight up behind the scenes footage and he was actually dancing around singing on set. And
it would make
like,
sense.
We're gonna use this.
Best cameo.
I was Frigga or Frida.
Frigga.
Frigga. Frigg, but
yeah.
I was gonna say Thor's ma.
Thor's mammy.
Thor's mammy.
Thor's ma'am.
I would have to say
Natalie
Pierce.
Portman. Natalie.
I did not. Pierce came out of left field for me.
I was not expecting. Okay, you know what, though? Also, you could also say that about Ancient One.
Yeah, that,
my
yeah,
brain
no, that
wasn't
is my new
going
favorite.
There,
was
you know, at all. But.
Well, the only reason I would say not ancient one is because as soon as they have to go back and get it, that's the only person that could have had it. So it telegraphed a little bit to me.
It could have been Wong. Wong was still around.
Came out. No, that's true.
And actually, the guy that initially had the sanctum that ends up losing it to Caecilius, the guy that gets killed, that's the protector of the sanctum in New York before Strange.
True.
Because really, Ancient One protects all the sanctums.
Right.
She just happened to be in New York. So that's interesting. But, man, I feel like, seriously, we need to get you guys all together and do more of this endgame talk. There's so many things we left off the table that we haven't even briefly touched on. I mean, there's like 2 hours worth of conversation left.
Yeah, I've still got anger left over from the Hellboy movie, so.
You didn't like that Hellboy movie.
Did Hellboy have an after-credit scene?
No. Well, no, yeah, actually, yes, it did. Lobster Johnson scene, which may have been better than the rest of the movie.
That was an amazing scene.
It was.
Because I love you, Lobster Johnson.
We've David and I already had discussions on this, so.
All right, folks. Well, this has been JIC 241. I got it right this time. The last half of this has been the Endgame spoiler. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode. You can check out Journey into Comics at Journey into Comics Network at journeyintocomics.com, on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, Spotify, CastBox, TuneIn, and many others. Just search Journey into Comics Network. Also, go to patreon.com/journeyintocomics to give us $1 for early access and exclusive content. I want to thank all you guys so much for coming on. Tyler.
Thank you.
Dick, AP, you. Dave, Veronica, Buckles.
Excelsior.
I love it. Let's get out of here, folks. This has been Journey into Comics 241. I have been Nate.
Avengers Assemble.
Dick.
Assemble.
Street Sharks.
Whatever.
Assemble.
Shit.
Shwarma?
Language?
Shwarma?
Oh, yeah. Fill your brains. Shwarma? I forgot the end tag. With we want to make sure we want to fill your
America's
brains
ass.
With shwarma.
America's
Let's
ass.
Go get some cheeseburgers.
Oh.
You son of a bitch.
What'd you say?
Get some cheeseburgers.
You buy all the cheeseburgers you want. All
right, guys. Thank you guys so much for checking this out. We'll see you guys later.